Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/thescope. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that is an alternative source of energy. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
There's plenty of catching up to be had. Several of this fall's major music releases are reviewed. And Jared really just wants a nap. Come on, I'm tired, guys.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Booyah shaka. Scopes in the house, episode 131. Jared is here. Adam is here. It's been a few weeks.
How many weeks?
4 weeks, I think.
Oh. Yeah. But we did have a great autumn movie blast last week. That's what we call it.
The autumn film blast?
Autumn film blast.
That's our little, what do you call it? Thing?
Drink?
Movie? I don't know.
Summer Scope summer movie preview, but it's the autumn film blast.
Words are for pussies.
They are.
We don't, film festival, that's what I was going for.
It's our film festival. Adam was not invited.
No.
Nor would he
have come.
Didn't
even know about it.
I would have.
I only got two tickets, brother.
Yeah.
Two tickets to what?
Paradise.
And when do we leave?
Now.
Wow. We'll pack our bags.
Wow.
And we'll leave later on this evening.
That's for the fans of the Nerdist podcast. I'm just ripping that bit off. Anyway, what's coming up on the show, Shane?
There's other podcasts? Is that what you're telling me?
We're not the only people in the world doing this?
I'm pretty sure we're not.
Hmm.
Otherwise, we would have a larger audience.
Or maybe we would just be so bad at what we do.
People were like, wow, podcasting was never going to take off.
What a terrible idea.
Wow, just all the...
every sound effect. Jared's new operating system
I hit a bunch of keys and then I hit the space bar, which pauses everything simultaneously. Just interesting.
We don't need new sound effects. So we just hit them all at the same time.
Boy, that was really gay.
Anyway.
So, yeah.
Soundboard still works.
I love it. Good thing. So if we have technical difficulties as we go on, you know that we're working out the kinks of...
I think we're fine.
You think we're good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't need to pre-warn anyone.
No, I think we're okay.
Okay, well.
Lion seems to be working out fine for me. No, I didn't go to Mountain Lion. I like to stay comfortably a year behind.
Yeah.
And it works
for you.
Is
it still the Hackintosh?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I was waiting for... there are some technical reasons why I don't want to move to Mountain Lion. So I wanted to move to Lion, but I also wanted to wait for them to have the native Ivy Bridge support, which came in the latest 10.7.5 update. So now I have an Ivy Bridge processor and motherboard sitting on my table upstairs ready to be installed.
So when do you think you'll upgrade to the... newest operating system?
Mountain Lion?
Yeah, or you won't.
Next summer. I don't know. I don't have any real compelling reason to do
sure.
it. I was getting to the point with Snow Leopard where certain pieces of software were no longer being supported in Snow Leopard. So like, all right, gotcha. I gotta move.
Well, if upgrading to the next operating system helps us do our show faster, makes us talk faster, then I would be all for it.
Makes the maps break, though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We would not be able to get to the Scope Studios.
I don't know if the OS upgrade will help, but the hardware upgrade will help because the components that are currently in my machine, which are being replaced, will be placed into another case, and that will become our streaming PC.
Uh-huh.
So I want something that can handle the multiple cameras and all everything. So it'll be the streaming box plus Skype, you know, any extra things that for technical reasons I need to route through my mixer for control will happen on that machine. So I have a case ordered for that, which will show up sometime next week. And I will bring my Hackintosh to work, set it up on the bench with a nice anti-static mat, and do my flippy floppy stuff.
Oh.
And hope for the best.
Sounds very complicated.
I have an update.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Shane just received an email from Victoria's Secret.
I did.
Wow.
That's all.
I bet you have another.
Whoa, look at
good
that.
Things the headline is, good things come in twos, and it's pictures of girls in bras.
Adam, I wonder if you have another update. Maybe one of this type.
The Scope World of Warcraft update. Remember, burly rockjaw trogs have feelings too.
So, Adam.
Yeah, what's up?
There's a new World of Warcraft expansion kit? Is that what it is? Some sort of...
Sure.
It's a kit, sure. Yeah.
You have to make...
You have to unfurl it. Yeah. And, yeah.
Please tell us what it is and tell us if you're involved in it. What is going on in the world of Warcraft?
Well, a bunch of...
That's compelling
this
stuff.
This is going much worse than I expected.
this segment always goes worse than anyone expects.
I only brought it up because you made a mention of it on Facebook this week, so I made it jotted down a note to bring this back.
Oh, did I? What did
you
I did. Say?
You said
I
you were say... you were embarrassed about playing it or something.
Oh, no. I said
did
I
you
had,
play it?
I have not played it.
Did you buy it?
I did buy it. I purchased it. I pre-ordered it. I don't know why. And
it's all about pandas. Is that true?
It's all about pandas and furries.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Sounds disgusting.
Panda fucking.
wow.
That's an upgrade.
I guess
don't
you run out of ideas eventually, right?
Pandas not actually bears. You guys know that, right?
Yeah, I know that.
What are they?
They're marsupials.
Hmm. Hmm.
I bought it and I installed it immediately. I was on the road when it came out and I was like, I gotta install this.
This right, is huge.
Right, right? And then it just
gotta install it.
It's
on my work laptop.
Yeah, exactly.
Which really shouldn't go down for any reason. I probably shouldn't install any software while I'm on the road, but World of Warcraft, do it.
Yeah.
Get it done.
And then I didn't do anything with it for I don't know, it came out, I don't even know when it came out, like end of September, I guess. And then randomly I couldn't sleep someday this week. So maybe Wednesday morning I woke up at like 4 and I was like, I guess I'll go play. Wow. So I played for a couple hours and it was boring. I don't know. But there's panda men. So
are you out of it?
I made a panda man. Huh?
Yeah. Is World of Warcraft done with you?
I might be. I hadn't played it for 18 months before this came out. So I don't really know why I was like, yeah, I got to pre-order this.
They
I got to install it
immediately. Chastise you when you turned it on? Like, where have you been? Where have ye old Adam?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a mean...
Like a witch
girlfriend,
type character?
That ex-girlfriend, yeah.
Mm. That's the worst game ever.
Right, but you keep coming back for it. Or I do. I don't know if I said you. Your secret WoW account that I know you have. So I started like a new character because I don't know. I don't know why.
Because it's fun to start at level 1?
I guess. And I played for a couple hours and then I was like, why am I doing this? So I turned it off and then... This morning, after I did the stuff for the news, I was...
Early morning prep.
Yeah. I was
right
like,
on top of it. Right.
I guess I'll try playing again. So I played one of the guys that I had at max level before. And it's fine. I don't know. I'm just not... It's no Borderlands 2.
Which I played a little bit.
Oh, like, you did wind up buying it?
Yeah, I played about a half an hour's worth.
I'll play with you if you if
I
you
bet
want.
You will.
That game gets good after about 2 hours.
Okay, good. So there you go, World of Warcraft update.
I don't know. Like, I played Diablo 3 a bunch over the summer, and that game must fall off a cliff for me also.
Are you just growing up? Is that what it is?
I'm worried that's
you're maturing?
What it is.
Maturing, huh?
I am really worried that that's what it is.
And yet you're going in all these, like, cotillions with Mandy and stuff like that.
What's a cotillion?
It's, as I said in the movie, it's some sort of racist thing.
Oh. Sure.
Some sort of something that was in the OC. You've seen the OC. They always
have
cotillions.
I remember that.
Balls of some sort.
I thought you were saying like a quinceañera. What's the 15th birthday for
something like that.
Yeah.
I was probably the perfect pronunciation of it. Right
Thank
there.
You.
That was pretty good.
I am going to Puerto Rico soon, so I'm trying to work on my
excellent. Good
my
choice.
Spanish.
Is that for a vacation?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I need a cough button for you.
A little tickle in my throat.
A little tickle.
So, World of Warcraft.
Yeah,
out of
I don't
commission.
Know. I like.
You don't need to draw it out any longer. If
I want to,
I can move on.
I want to know why I'm not into it. That game's 8, 9 years old.
Maybe that's it.
And that's probably it.
You sort of grow out of something that's nearly a decade old.
If there's any Scope listeners out there who know why Adam is no longer interested in World of Warcraft,
it's so crass.
World of Warcraft, please contact us.
If any
let us
of
know.
You play it still, I'll join your guild probably. So,
no, what do you think about that? Wow. Scope.
Now he's right
faithful.
Back. He's right back in it. It's amazing how quickly.
What I'm saying is, I'm looking for something to draw me to pull me back in, and I'm not finding it.
So the game itself, maybe not, but if you could find some sort of social angle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's I'd say. That's the main reason why people play that.
The Leroy Johnson.
Do you not
angle?
Have? Did you ever have a guild? Were you in a guild in the past?
I've always been in guilds.
Are you telling that guild to fuck off?
Is your guild just sort of disbanded? Are they not playing anymore?
No. Like I play with a guild.
Plenty of basement
from,
dwellers who don't have anything better to do, right?
Right. Like they're not real life friends, which I think is a big difference. I play with the Something Awful forums has a bunch of guilds, and I'm in one that has like 1,000 people in it. So
wow.
It's not really like friends.
It's really hard. So 1,000 people, that's really tough to get some sort of IRL meeting going on.
Yes. That's the biggest problem, in fact. I'm like, hey, you guys want to hang out and have a LAN party? And they're like,
well, we need to rent a convention center, so maybe not.
Right.
All right. Awkward?
Other video games I'm excited for, though. So
well, okay. It's coming. We've got a bunch of stuff coming.
Yeah.
Let's circle back to the Scope Autumn Film Blast real quick.
Okay.
Because I think this...
Autumn Film Blast?
The Scope Autumn Film Blast. I think that this bears a little bit...
I mean,
bit
you know,
of,
you could go alliterative and go the Fall Film Blast, but I think Autumn sounds better.
Autumn is fancier.
The Fall Film Festival.
Because it's got that silent end at the end.
But like the blast, you know, it sounds aggressive. It sounds very...
It's like northerly winds coming in and bringing the cold weather with you.
Like
it's
naming Mountain Dew Extreme or Doritos Extreme. Blast. Scope Blast. I like it. So, yeah, let's talk about this this movie that we reviewed last week. Or 2 weeks. It's actually been kind of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's the Perks of Being a Wallflower. Adam and I went to see, not necessarily together, but I went to see this movie again.
Double date plus one.
Yep. After Jared and I saw a sneak preview, I really wanted to see it again. And so Adam and his lady and Molly of the show and Carrie and myself, we all went to check it out again because they hadn't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to get Adam's quick review on it because Jared and I gave it 4 stars, which we've never done for anything except in the inverse with girlfriends.
Right. The perfect bad
this
score.
This is the anti-girlfriend.
Right. Yes. We've now gone the entire range of the...
From girlfriends to wallflowers.
Yep. Zero to four.
It took us how many years to do it?
I think we may hit some of the other scores we've never hit.
We've got a lot of strange scoring coming up. So, Adam, what did you think of this film? I mean, we went into it. I had a lot of hype on it. I was concerned that I overhyped it for you.
Mm-hmm. I was concerned about that, too.
With Adam, he can either be all in or he can be very cynical and hate things.
Yeah.
And you came out feeling...
I really like this movie. The easiest way for me to judge a movie, like by its first thing, my first feeling on it, is if I wanted the movie to be longer than it was.
Like, you're watching it and you're thinking, okay, this kid's got 3 years of high school left. How does he make it through those years?
Right.
Because that's exactly what I've been thinking.
And
about
now let me watch it immediately following the end of this movie. I don't want it, like, I don't know if they're going to do a sequel or whatever, but I was like, yep, make this 8 hours. Not really. But I wanted to still be in that...
In that world with those people.
Yeah. And so immediately I knew I liked it. And I just kind of thought about it for a while. And there's really, like, there's no part of the movie that I was like... Yeah, they could shorten this up, or I didn't really care that much about about this area or these few characters. I liked everything about this movie.
I mean, it's interesting, Jared, because we talked about how there were elements that we immediately related to, even though the main character Charlie is in a lot of ways not very very relatable. He comes from a background where he might have mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
He's had some terrible things happen to him. In the prior year, his best friend kills himself, so he kind of comes in a broken person. But yet, I felt like there were things over and over that happened through this movie that I could relate to or that might have been ripped from my life in some sort of configuration. And to me, that's why I really like this film, because it was instantly relatable in not an exact way.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's relatable in the same way that Harry Potter is a relatable character. You know, like an underdog.
A lot of broomstick flying in this film.
Right. I mean, obviously. No.
It's just that the circumstances are not an exact match, but definitely maybe the results or the situations you become in as a result of those circumstances are then relatable. I don't know.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
I have to say that, when I saw it again, the moment that stood out for me was the first party that Charlie went to, and he kind of told his story, and I won't spoil it, but he was hanging out with these seniors, and it was a moment where it could go either way. They could reject him as a freak, or they could kind of accept him for what he was and kind of take him in like the baby bird that fell out of the nest. And the way they handled that was, to me, like, it was an absolutely perfect moment, even with some of the trite, cheesy lines and they had to develop that scene with the Island of Misfit Toys and that sort of thing. But I loved it because, I mean, I had something like exactly like that happen in my life to me. Not that I was high, but just in a moment where people accept you into the group when you'd have no reason or feeling that they should do that. And it's like a world-changing thing. It was a world-changing thing for me when I was in high school or in college at the time. It actually happened a couple of times. I mean, it sort of happened with Jared's friend group a little bit, whether he realizes or not, but it also happened with another group of my friends that were much older than me And I was just like, wow, why would they ever want to hang out with a kid who can't go to bars and can't really, you know, do all the stuff that you're doing, but yet here I am.
It's that sweet discount on Toys R Us toys that you got them.
We never got a discount.
We never got a discount. That's absolutely true. So, yeah, I mean, that to me, that was the moment. And the movie had a bunch of things that were extremely, were ripped out of teen movies. You know, there were stereotypes and there were characters that kind of fit molds. But everybody seemed real enough where you might know someone like that.
I'm curious to know, if Adam had seen it with us, would he kept us from rating it a perfect score for?
Would you have gone with it? Because Jared and I, we stopped, we looked at each other, and we're like, this is one of the greatest things we've ever seen. We've got to do this. And we almost talked ourselves out of it, too.
Yeah.
We did. We were on the fence. We're like, no, I think we have to go with what our gut tells us.
I mean, there were no explosions, so that probably would have knocked it down. But I don't think I would have. I remember coming out of it and thinking, okay.
Why am I crying like a little bitch, right. First of all?
What is a better movie? And that's hard to do because you remember everything newer better.
Sure.
But, you know, I was like, what's a better movie that I've seen in the last year or two or five or 10 years? And, you know, I could think of other ones that are at least, you know, in the discussion.
Sure.
But the fact that it's in the discussion along with those movies meant, you know, like I thought it was close to a 4 or a 4 or whatever.
Can you sort of separate it by the type of film it is? I mean, it's a teenage coming of age story. Mm-hmm. Is that different than The Master, which is a completely different story of, you know?
You mean in terms of like rating it?
Yeah, I mean, can you give it 4 for being the perfect teen movie versus a 3.5 for being just a great movie?
I don't know. I don't segment things in that way. I think when I just like the number I would give something is more about just my enjoyment of it, regardless of the segment or genre it occupies.
Okay. So let me ask one last question. I will pose this to both Jared and
it's better than The Master, by the way.
Adam. Okay.
Yep.
So this goes back to the plot of the story. Do you think, and this we'll do this as spoiler-free as possible, because the movie ends with a very, very bittersweet note, but do you think that Charlie had an easier go of it in his remaining 3 years of high school? Because it ends with, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why the movie is so brilliant, because it kind of ends where it starts in a weird sort of way. I mean,
right.
Plus one year. He's by himself. He's a different person. But where does he go from there?
Yeah. I would think so. I mean, I took it away. I took the message at the end of, like, one of, you know, hopefulness.
Sure.
Rather than... You know, you said it's bittersweet, and it's more on the sweet end.
Sure,
I think, but the fact that he's kind of back where he started, but has grown, can kind of lead you to believe, okay, well, he'll have similar experiences in this upcoming year and the year after that, and maybe be better for them.
Yeah. What do you say, Jared?
I think he has a better time of it. I just think he's gone through this year and he's now come out of it with a better idea of who he is, a better set of tools on how to deal with, you know, stressful situations,
and
it won't be an easy ride, I don't think, but I think he'll get through it better.
And the fact that we know that he can kick some serious ass will at least keep people away from him.
Right.
True.
No,
it was. I watched a Q&A with the writer director of the movie, Stephen Chbosky, and a lot of people will ask him, you know, what happened to Charlie. And he never says either if he ever decides to do another book or a movie, which he said he doesn't really necessarily want to do a book because it would have to be as good and as meaningful as this one.
Right.
But he kind of answers the question with, well, he just had a baby. Charlie just had a baby 3 months ago, and he just directed and produced this great movie about a coming of age. So that's where Charlie is now.
Right.
He is Charlie.
Yeah, I mean, he said he didn't experience the same life as Charlie, but a lot of that stuff came from him. So
sure.
He sort of sees Charlie as himself in a weird way. So, you know, maybe that just tells you that at the end of the day, you can get through difficult situations and be a success on your own.
Yeah.
In your own right. So there you go. Go see the movie.
One thing that stood out to me during the trailer, Hermione comes off as the ultimate manic pixie dream girl.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of that phrase of because I was getting that same feeling, the whole manic pixie dream girl. Yeah.
But she's
it's
way
a thing.
More.
It's a trope in movies. Definitely is.
I think she's way more realized than the classic characters like what's her face, Kirsten Dunst from Elizabethtown,
yeah,
and what's her face from the Queen Amidala.
Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing, here's the thing about Hermione. I've never, in high school, there was never a girl like her.
Oh, no.
There was, I mean, those are the type of girls that you wish would be there.
Right.
But this movie does.
Because, you know, you would really, she would get you.
Yeah. But this movie does such a good job that it makes her feel like she could absolutely be real.
Yeah.
And
she does.
And she does an excellent job.
Yeah.
So there you go. So let's.
By the way, that kid that played Charlie.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Logan Lerman.
Oh no, I mean the 2-year-old Charlie.
Oh, he was good too.
But yes, Logan.
They're
Lerman.
All good.
Yeah.
Jared.
The soap score is 4 stars.
just reiterating. Yes.
Well, let's cover one last thing before we head off into the guts of the show, shall we? So we are in the midst of a very, very odd NFL football season, to say the least.
Every team's going to finish 8-8. I'm telling you right now.
Adam, the team that you back, the Washington Redskins, are in what position right now in there?
They're 2-2, and that means they're tied for second in the NFC East.
And in a division anybody could win.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
That's wide open.
It's a terrible division.
And then the Minnesota Vikings, Jared, are at what?
They are 3-1.
3-1.
In the most surprising 3-1.
In the most bizarre.
Probably the worst 3-1 team.
Probably the worst 3-1. But they have beat two.
Yes.
Two amazing playoff teams in back to back.
Yeah.
Last year, they beat two playoff teams from last year, and two teams that were expected to do well in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I think that the Lions maybe have been a little overrated. I don't know if you saw that statistic that they're 6-10 in their last 16 games. You know,
yeah, I did say that
last season.
To quote a sound effect, a sound bit from a radio show that we listen to, it doesn't matter. They're 3-1.
It doesn't matter.
And I'm amazed. Jared, your take.
I think the true test of this team will be this week against a low-rated Tennessee Titans team. How do they perform against that? I mean, this is one of the knocks against this team over the years has always been they play down to the competition.
And they had in their one loss, they did do that.
Yep.
I mean, the game they probably should have won.
They've made some changes, though, since then. So, I mean, it's gonna be, if they can come out with I don't want just a close game. I want them to assert themselves as a good team against the Titans. And I think that'll tell me a lot about them. They really have to do well in this first half of the season, because once they come out of the bye, it's a crushing, brutal schedule.
Yeah. And it's a late bye, too.
It's week 10. So you come out of that, and I think they have 5 or 6 games left, and it's two Bears, 2 Packers, and Texans.
Yep. So those are, I mean, you've got to win. You probably have to win your 2 games home, and you've probably got to surprise a team and win one on the road somewhere in there. And really, it's almost like you either have to sweep the Bears or you have to sweep the Packers in that run. Unless the Bears and Packers start shitting their pants, which I think that they're only going to get stronger.
Yeah, the Vikings still have to play the Cardinals coming up. They have to play the Rams, who beat the Cardinals on Thursday. So it's
interesting.
No easy walk. Definitely not an
easy
walk.
It's NFL parity.
There you go.
And so
that's why 59% of the country at least thinks about NFL football. Up from 55 last year.
Jared's right on the polling.
I just saw it today.
So when is the Scoper Bowl, as we like to call it? Redskins versus Vikings.
Is that week 6? Is that next week?
Next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
Yeah. 8
Sunday
days from now.
This game could go anywhere, couldn't it?
Yes.
And in Washington, D.C.?
Washington. So otherwise, I'd go to it.
That would be exciting. You have any predictions on that game, or it's too close to call?
I haven't watched any of the Vikings games other than highlights. So with their defense, I don't know. It's hard. It's,
bend but don't break, Jared.
Here's what I keep thinking of. Do you remember? I think it was Michael Vick's first year in the NFL.
I don't remember.
And the Falcons played the Vikings, and I think the Vikings were winning.
Yeah, but then he killed them in a huge play.
Like, he ran 60 yards for a touchdown. Like, ran past every single Viking, or they dove at him.
Yeah, that was like Tecmo Bowl.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was to tie the game, I think. And then I think in overtime, he did basically the same thing.
Yeah.
For a second touchdown, or set him up for a field goal or something.
So you're thinking RG3 is the next Michael Vick in that sense.
Well,
he's going to embarrass the Vikings.
I'm hoping that happens. Obviously, I mean, that was like 8 years ago or something. So, obviously a very different Vikings team. Probably no players from that team.
No.
It's pretty much all turned over. Well, Kevin Williams might still be the last holdout.
Yeah, maybe.
And what's his name? The cornerback, 26.
Winfield.
Antoine.
Winfield, yeah.
Here's the thing. I think this Vikings team, And I can't speak for the Redskins. I've seen probably 5 minutes of Redskins game this year. I think the Vikings team is still a team that needs an identity, and they're working towards that. So you just really don't know what kind of team is going to show up. I mean, they've proven themselves to be pretty tough in the last couple games, but I think it's something where you've got to repeat that pattern over and over again. And like Jared said, you've got to beat the teams you now are expected to beat, and you've got to do it in a way that doesn't lead to overtime, or you're worried about some sort of last-second Hail Mary or, you know, a quarterback ripping you for one for 65 yards to screw you over. So, I don't know.
And I don't know what the official Vegas line is, but most of the pundits that I've seen have picked the Vikings to win this week, so...
Yeah,
if they don't win,
they
then
should,
that
they should be
a lot.
Picked to win this game.
Yeah, the Titans have not looked good from anything I've seen this year.
A lot of injuries on their team. So
we don't know if...
And who do the Redskins play this week?
They play the Falcons.
And that's probably a tough game.
Yeah.
On the road, they play
them at home.
Okay, so. Well, that's a help. They got to win it, though, don't they?
The Redskins have not won at home since September 17th of last year.
Well, this guy is a stat freak. So. That's a really bad stat, by the way.
That is a really bad stat.
But we'll see if we can get together and watch the game on a... I wouldn't say on a neutral field, because it would more than likely be at my house.
Will Carrie be there?
Of course she will.
Oh, she'll just be yelling the whole time.
I feel like
she would razz me more than either of you two would.
Carrie usually is upstairs doing something else during the game.
Yeah, okay.
She's not even there.
And I know that this will harm your ego, but she doesn't really give a rat's ass about you. So she doesn't care. She doesn't care enough to make fun of you, I don't think.
Whatever.
Okay, she does. She loves you. So we'll see. Adam might have other plans, but
I'm in.
He's in.
Just got a text. I'm allowed.
Wow.
So maybe we'll do a little recording during the show or during the game. And
said, you're going to let me.
We could do like quarterly updates. So,
after
first quarter, second halftime, third quarter, and then final game wrap up. Just a little something extra.
Our listeners do love our NFL talk. So,
yeah. Well, maybe
that's what they tune in for.
Maybe we put it out as a special episode. Then people, if they don't like the NFL stuff, they can just completely skip it.
I like it.
Think about that.
I like it.
This has been a feature packed A block, Shane.
Yeah, we got to really push to the B block. So listen, enough football talk. We've got actual content here that will interest a good majority of the people that listen to The Scope. And what are we doing? It's all music, guys. It's been a huge, huge month, or September has been a huge month for new music. And we decided to take a swing at a bunch of them, so we'll do it in a rapid-fire type of situation.
Yeah.
We've got Under the Scope, so that means news, and no reviews, because we're doing that ahead of time. But pratfalls and fun will be abound, I'm sure.
Sure.
So let's take a quick break, Jared.
Yeah.
And then we'll get back to it.
Awesome.
Scope 131.
Hey, for you Scope listeners. We got a special offer. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. We'd like to do little recommendations here. This time, I have a recommendation for you. I just finished up Drift, The Unmooring of American Military Power by Rachel Maddow. It's nonfiction, in case you were wondering. And you guys can chime in anytime you want, if you want to.
I like Rachel Maddow.
Wow.
I love your liberal agenda.
Basically, it's about how our military has shifted from kind of a volunteer army run by the people to a military that isn't very good at some of its stuff it does, and how it has really relied on civilian contractors to do a lot of the menial tasks, and how that sort of has divorced the America... divorced citizens from... war itself. We don't even necessarily know what's going on because our citizens aren't affected by it that much anymore. So,
military industrial complex.
Yeah, it's a lot of that. So, if you're at all curious about that sort of stuff and where we are as a nation in a largely nonpartisan way, I recommend checking out the book. That's Drift, The Unmooring of America's Military Power by Rachel Maddow. You can pick up this book and or a book of your choice for free by trying Audible. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/thescope. Again, that's audibletrial.com/thescope for your free audio book. Check it out today, folks.
Hey, everybody. We are back. You know, I got to say, we've been doing this for so long that other podcasts would do each segment in chunks. They'd record it. They'd stop. They'd probably go outside, smoke a cigarette, beat up a bum. Not us.
We smoke a cigarette and beat up a bum.
We do it during the show. Right. Everything is recorded linearly, Jared.
I think you probably need the cigarette to study your nerves while you're beating up the bum. Because it can be a bit of a nerve-wracking thing, because they can start shouting expletives at you. There's definitely going to be some sort of evacuation of the bowels.
Yeah.
And you need
by the bum or by myself?
Both. More likely by the bum, but you may also add your own... I don't know, your own stew to the pot, I guess.
I don't know about you guys, but I get a boner every time I kill a bum.
So that's your takeaway for this show, I think. Smoke a cigarette while killing a bum because it's going to steady you.
Quick Shane email update. Just got another email, this time from Fredericks of Hollywood.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were still
Adam
around.
And Eve, I'm really hoping next.
Adam and Eve.
Really?
For all of my sensual clothing and video needs.
There you go.
You know, that's Adam and Eve.
I'm just going to say, Adam and Eve does sponsor podcasts, and I wouldn't say no if they wanted to.
I would not either.
I would not throw a little money our way.
I would not either. So we've got 5 album reviews. We've each sort of taken the lead on an album or two. Mm-hmm. And so let's just knock this out of the park.
Holy.
All right. We're going to start with Jared.
Yes.
Jared will do the first, Adam will do the second, I will do the third, and then we'll just continue to go around in a counterclockwise circle.
I love it.
Okay.
Jared?
Yeah.
Your first album.
Ooh, which one do you want? I got 2. Do you have a preference, or should I just pick one?
I was hoping for Cyndi Lauper's Greatest Hits.
Well, I don't have that one, so we will go with the latest from Ben Folds 5.
5?
You know, outside of a decent yet forgettable one-off new track that appeared on Ben Folds' 2011 Best Imitation of Myself, a retrospective compilation, it's been an awfully long time since the Ben Folds 5 have graced listeners with a full-on dose of their signature blend of nostalgia and snark. Sound of the Life of the Mind, the trio's 4th studio album, pretty much picks up right where 1999's unauthorized biography of Reinhold Messner left off, anchored by the instantly familiar interplay between Robert Sludge's distorted bass, Folds' percussive yet always melodic piano, and Darren Jesse's meaty yet always lyrical drum work.
Meaty!
The first two cuts, the funereal art punk-infused Erase Me and the retro pop gem Michael Prater 5 years later. That's sort of a Ben Folds staple, isn't it? A song about a person with the name of the person in the song.
It's very strange, isn't
it? Yeah, it's sort of his thing, but whatever.
Did you say meaty but lyrical?
Meaty yet always lyrical.
Oh,
yep,
but
that's what it says.
Yet always lyrical.
Episode title.
I didn't write any of this, by the way.
I like that. That is definitely part of the episode title.
All right. They sound like they arrived via wormhole. The band has always been at its best when allowed the freedom to run around and kick stuff, and those tracks, along with the frenzied Do It Anyway and the propulsive title cut, are right in the band's wheelhouse. But Folds has made a name for himself as a proper AOR. That's, what is it, adult-oriented rock?
Yes, it is.
AOR balladeer since the group's demise, and the sound of life of the mind. That's kind of a hard title to say.
I mean, this sounds like this all this stuff came right out of your brain.
Yeah. The sound of life of the mind reflects that change, allowing for a ballad to rocker ratio that slightly favors the former. So I wanted to play a clip from this album, and I didn't pick the lead single Do It Anyway,
which I hate.
You know, you do.
I'm not
hate that
I kinda
song.
I kind of like it.
Hate it.
Really?
When they released that song about 4 months ago or so, and I was like, boy, if the album sounds like this, I'm outie.
Well, that was an unmastered track, Shane.
That's true.
Oh, okay.
They played it on Colbert, right?
Mm-hmm.
I did not
have
like
you watched
that performance.
Have you watched the Fraggle-flavored video?
I haven't.
Okay. I don't know that it would sway you, because if you're not a Muppets guy, then I'm not really a Muppets guy either. But I kind of like the song. But my favorite song right now on the album is called Draw a Crowd. It's up-tempo. I like how it's got a lot of less piano, more kind of like electric organ play. Is the main feature.
You love a good electric
key
organ?
Instrument, and it's got some fun lyrics to it. So I'll play a clip for you.
Sorry.
From Draw a Crowd.
A row of flags hanging behind me, a garden of mics and crashes and photo flashes blind me, and I'm so high I can't recall my statements. I only know I made them because my face vibrated. Is it all in my mind? I could have sworn I saw.
How can you argue with those lyrics? You can't draw a crowd, draw dicks on the wall.
It's Adam's life story, right?
There's
there.
there's another phrase later on in the bridge, and I don't you know pick up on lyrics right away. I haven't quite don't have a context for it, but the line is it's so clear you can hear the beard, and they say it a couple times, and I just that makes me laugh. So clear you can hear the beard.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know either. Like I said, I don't have a context for it yet, but I like the lines. So this is my favorite. I like the title track a lot too, but I don't know. This is an album that's sort of a slow grower on me. My first impression on it was like, okay, I like it. Ben Folds 5 is back. It sounds like Ben Folds 5. You've got the trademark sounds. But I'm not, it also sort of still kind of blending together. I'm not sure where my favorite tracks are, if I have any favorite tracks. You and I talked about this last night, Shane. This is sort of a trend with Ben Folds where, you know, there's a lot of average songs and maybe one or two that you really like. And this, we're talking about his solo stuff that came the last couple solo albums. So it's like, I was kind of concerned that this album is going to be the same sort of thing, but it's sort of growing on me now. I've listened to it about four or five times, and I'm starting to pick out songs that I do like that sort of rise above it. Production is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really like that distorted bass. I need to borrow that tone for some of my stuff since I've been playing bass more in my band. I want to try that out and see if I can fit that in somewhere. And it's nice to have him back, so, you know, I can't really be too upset about this album.
Yeah, I mean, Ben Folds 5 was one of my, probably my top three artists of the 90s. I mean, they were...
Dishwalla. Marcy's Playground.
And then when Xtina Aguilera came in, she bumped them all off.
Well,
Genie in a Bottle. Nice. I mean, let's not even start there.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, Ben Folds 5 at the time, I mean, they didn't have... there was no guitar in there. It was piano-driven. It was sort of the antithesis of the grunge music era. I mean, it was very much like an Elton John-y type of 70s Elton John rock, which I love that shit.
We've since gotten a lot more piano-driven bands.
Yeah.
But they started it. They were definitely on the cutting edge there.
They restarted it. How about that?
Sure.
So I mean, I've followed Ben Folds 5 from their, you know, first album all the way to the end of his solo career. I mean, I'm sure he'll be back. But so I've always been aware of what he's doing. Loved him on the the a cappella show that he did.
The
sing off. Boy, he was good.
I like some of his weird projects, like with Shatner.
Yep.
And
the Bends. Ben Queller, Ben Folds, Ben Lee. I mean, so the guy's creative. They've got good stuff. It's good to have them together. And I really can't add much to the review that you haven't already said. I mean, you're on point. You know what you're talking about. You're a genius, Jared.
Sure.
And I do not want to get the distorted bass into my band, because I do not have a band.
Ah, okay.
Adam?
That's good to understand. You know, this album and the next one that we'll talk about, both came, you know, like, they're bands that come from the same era. But I always had a fondness for Ben Folds and the band, Ben Folds 5.
Yes.
And I always felt, listening to it back then, that I was listening to like more mature music, you know, like I was 16 in 96 and listening to Naked Baby Photos and then in 99 or whatever when Reinhold Messner came out, I felt like I was listening to like cool college adult rock,
like you were ahead of the curve for your age.
And now I still kind of feel like it's the same music, but I'm old, so it feels like dad rock a little bit. And that kind of brings it down for me a little bit.
It's not a bad way of looking at it.
I know.
It's not a bad way.
I don't
the music itself hasn't changed. You've changed around it.
I think so.
Hmm.
Maybe the music has too, but I don't know. But I still feel like, kind of, Jared, like what you were saying, where I feel like there's two or three songs I do like on the album.
Yeah.
And the rest is really mediocre.
It's not bad. It's just like, meh.
I can listen to it.
Sure.
And I don't. There was not a single song. Well, I didn't like the opening track, but otherwise, I don't think I dislike any single song on it. But it's just kind of meandering for me. But I still liked. I still like Ben Folds' music, no matter what it is. It just it didn't hold up to the, you know, where I have good Ben Folds.
At the very least, you have to respect the guy as an artist and his talent.
Yeah. Also, I assume he's a huge dick.
He is kind of, but
just he's
he
been
comes
married,
across
like,
as
four,
nice though. But
no,
he,
he's been married and divorced four
if you,
times.
Yeah,
and
if you listen to some of his interviews, and it's like he's not like I made your asshole or anything, but he's definitely got a certain edge to him. That
I think he's probably a perfectionist.
Yeah, could be
in all aspects of his life.
What I find kind of interesting about the Ben Folds music is you know, initially when a new album comes out and I don't necessarily find that track that I'm, you know, super excited about, sometimes I'll come back to the album months later, a year later, and I'll hear a track and I'll be like, oh, I like this one. How come I didn't notice this the first time around? And
it happens
on almost every album for him. So
yeah, that's happened with me.
I'll just have to, you know, stick it in the collection and come back to it periodically and see what I like.
Well, let's give it a score.
The Scope score is 2.75 stars.
I have all my scores on a tab in my soundboard.
Now, nice. Well, let's move on to the next album, Adam.
Yeah,
we throw it to you.
All right. So, 90s all-star Ben Folds meet 90s all-stars Green Day. Uno is the band's ninth studio album, and it's the first of three albums that the band's going to be releasing over the next few months. Uno, this one, Dos, and Trey. It's the Uno, Dos, Trey trilogy.
Because of Trey, cool.
Mm-hmm. Get it? I get it. I think I'm with it. I'll write it down so I can study that later.
Yeah.
So this one came out in September, and the other two will be released between now and January. And then Quattro,
that's our album.
A documentary about the making of the trilogy will be coming out shortly afterwards.
I swear Catorce was the next one.
No?
That's a U2 reference. Uno, Dos, Tres,
Catorce. Yeah.
It's wrong, but that's what they say. Moving on. I'll edit that out.
In February of 2012.
Not linear anymore.
Billy Joe Armstrong announced that the band was in the studio recording material for a new album. In a statement, which I can only assume means a series of drunken tweets, he said, "We are at the most prolific and creative time in our lives. This is the best music we've ever written, and the songs just keep coming. Instead of making one album, we are making a three-album trilogy. Every song has the power and energy that represents Green Day on all emotional levels.
Wow.
We just can't help ourselves. We are going epic as fuck."
Oof.
I want to take those words back.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many trilogy albums have ever existed, but this made me think that Gary Cherone will be replacing Billy Joe Armstrong on the third album.
Anytime soon.
Right.
With I Can't Drive 55, Sammy Hagar on the second one.
Exactly.
So they're really
good. No, was two. I thought two was still... Van Halen 2 still had what's his face.
Yeah, I know. Just
a little DLR.
I was just actually doing the
what's his face.
David Lee.
Anyway,
I need to have my David Lee Roth tab set up because I just missed an opportunity.
Yeah, I know. I know Fred Norris.
The songs on the album are mostly like Green Day. some of the songs sound more like a mid 90s Green Day. You know, when they were cool, right? We can all agree. While other songs like Kill the DJ sound oddly enough like No Doubt to me.
I hated that song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like 2000 No Doubt, when they were never cool anyway, so it didn't matter. So here's a clip from Let Yourself Go, which kind of sounds like it could be on Insomniac, the band's follow-up to Dookie.
Shut your mouth because you're talking too much and I don't give a damn anyway. You always seem to be stepping in shit and all you really do is complain. It's your life. Shut your mouth cause you're talking too much and I don't give a fuck anyway. Let yourself go, let yourself go, let yourself go. Let yourself go, let yourself go, let yourself go.
I think the increase in swearing on that song is interesting because he goes from damn, and then he says shit a little like meaner, and then he says fuck. Like, so it's like escalating.
All calculated.
Right. It's like you're a grown up now. It's not...
You don't have to do that.
Right. So, yeah, that's the album. That is Uno. We've got two more coming up, guys. So, I think
we're perfect timing for Billy Joe's stint in rehab.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all coming to fruition for those guys, isn't it?
Shane is referring to Billy Joe Armstrong's freak out on the iHeartRadio Awards, I think, right?
It was just a concert.
Or a concert,
not an award.
Okay. Where they weren't given enough time for a couple songs.
And Usher was going to come on stage, and they didn't feel like, Billy Joe anyway, did not feel like they were treating him properly.
Mm-hmm.
And then he immediately checked himself into rehab after that outburst, and then released a statement saying, they gave us enough time, I was just being a shit.
All right.
So that's what he said. Anyway, so okay. We've got this Green Day album.
An off-Broadway play will now be created about that incident.
I think that's very, very key to this. Adam, your take on it.
This is an album that has lots of weird parts in it coming from... It's hard to not compare it to other Green Day albums. Like, sure. I can't not do that. Green Day is a band that I liked for exactly two albums when I was 15 and 16. So after that, I despised them because that was a cool thing to do, I guess, for a, you know,
something's
late,
never changed
a late
for you.
Teenager. And so parts of this album are weird because they definitely fit in with that Dookie, Insomniac era. And then other songs sound like they're trying to modernize, and I can appreciate that, but I kind of don't feel like Green Day is a band that was meant to last more than a few years in the 90s. And they've done a good job, like,
right,
you know, finding ways of extending themselves, like with that Time of Your Life song, which is, you know, the least Green Day hit of all time, probably.
Well, they totally kind of reinvented who they were, mm-hmm. when they did American Idiot, mm-hmm. and... Yeah.
21st century breakdown after that.
And then, again, now they're trying to kind of go back to that old sound. It's like, but no, we went through that already. We're kind of done with that now.
Yeah.
And you're old. Why are you going back to this youthful thing that is really not even relevant and current right
it's
now?
It's like poser-like. That's the only way I can explain it.
It is. It's like they're dads now, and they're trying to relate to their kids, and they're doing it thinking, this is what kids are into.
Just do your thing.
Right.
You know, you could compare them to No Doubt if you want. You could compare them to another band that's big like U2. You know, for better or for worse, U2 doesn't go out and do what they think the kids want them to do. They just release a lot of meandering albums that maybe have one hit on them, but at least they're doing U2. This Green Day album feels like a...
I would say that Zooropa might have been...
Yeah, but that was years ago, though.
Okay.
I mean, you know, ever since, you know, U2 sort of came back in 2001... you know, they just do what they do. Green Day, this one feels like a cop out. It feels like, you know, they're not doing what a rebellious band like this would actually do. It feels like they're walking on the same ground and they're doing it in a sort of false way.
Did we review 21st Century?
I think we did.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember if you liked it?
I didn't like it as much as American Idiot, but okay. I thought it was all right.
Yeah, okay.
And I think American Idiot, for what it's worth, was a brilliant album from top to bottom for the most part. To this day, I'm still impressed by it. So that's what makes this all the more disappointing. Jared and I talked about this, and to me, it felt like in the American Idiot days, they had something to prove. They were legitimately angry about something, and it showed in the music that they did. It felt real, and it felt like something that could come from them. This album doesn't. It feels like a mess.
You're saying that because Obama has fixed America...
I think that's it.
They don't have a George W. Bush to be mad at anymore.
I mean, that could very well be
part of it. You know, you get older and, you know, things don't piss you off as much, but you're Green Day, so you got to pretend like you're angry. I don't know.
I just feel like there isn't any authenticity to this album. This just could be fulfilling what I thought was the path when they first started trying to promote this.
Yeah.
They started releasing a bunch of photos on Facebook, like promo photos, and they're just like, you know, they're dressing like what they think the cool kids should be dressing like, and they've got, you know, the stupid, irreverent looks on their faces, and I'm just like, guys, you're like you said, Adam, they're dads. They're, you know, you're grown up, and you've gone through this whole metamorphosis as artists, and now it feels like you're just like... backtracking, and it doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel like this is what you should be doing. I was just turned off from the very beginning. I'm like, if this is how the albums are going to be, I'm not going to be happy. And that's how the album is, and I'm not happy.
Here's a good...
And there's going to be three of them, when there probably should be one, where they pick the best songs...
And do it.
And put out one good album. Maybe it's a long album. Maybe you get a bonus disc. I don't know. But three albums of this is going to be very disappointing.
But think about, okay, like, multiply this album times three. Can you find three... or one album worth of songs you'd want to listen to?
I think if you have three albums worth of material, I think you could find one pretty decent album.
10 songs, 9 songs.
I think but so. They...
I don't... Let Yourself Go, I don't mind it. I like it. I kind of like that. I guess if there's a whole album of that, maybe I wouldn't like it as much.
Yeah,
I really didn't like their leadoff single at all. I just thought it was boring and plotting, and how people responded to it on the radio is
weird.
Beyond me. I don't get why they liked it. But
Here's a good parallel. We all went to see Louis C.K. last night. The guy's 45 years old. The audience was full of people that were probably average 25, 26 years old. Yeah. We were the oldest.
He asked for a round of applause of who was 45 and older, and he said it was 18 people, but it was probably...
It was more than that, but there
200 people.
It wasn't a lot.
Right. There were, you know, 3,300 people in there. So you have to ask yourself, why are these young people liking what Louis C.K. does? Mm-hmm. It's because he's authentic to himself. He is interested in refining his craft and refining who he is. And people are attracted to that. It appeals to them. Bands like Green Day, who are now in their 40s, need to do the same thing.
They were doing the same thing, and now it just seems like they've taken a huge step back.
Yeah. And maybe they think they are, and sometimes, the vision gets lost.
Even towards the end, I was getting annoyed with the eyeliner and skinny ties. It's like, fuck you. Just put on a t-shirt and jeans and be an adult. Yeah. I don't know. It just bothered me.
Be Mr. Grohl from Foo Fighters. At least he goes out there and isn't fucking around.
Well, they didn't have a band for a couple of days
this week. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So let's give this thing a score, guys.
The Scope score is 1.75 stars.
I'm thinking that might be a little high now.
Might be a little high.
That was such an angry review from you, too. Especially from you, Shane. You just seemed like disappointed.
I was disappointed.
I'm disappointed in you, Billy Joe Armstrong.
I am disappointed.
It's interesting because we determine these scores ahead of time, so I know what to play, and then we do the review part, and it's like, oh, wow. I don't know if that score really jives with what we were talking about.
Well, we'll send that to the Scope Commission, and maybe we'll change that.
A blue ribbon.
We've really got to investigate how this process works. So we've been talking about 90s bands that are making comebacks, and we've got another one, and Adam has mentioned them. It's No Doubt. So let's take a look at No Doubt's sixth studio album. It's called Push and Shove. The album serves as a comeback album for the band, as their last album, Rocksteady, was released over 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. This album debuted at number 3 on the Billboard 200 and has already sold over 100,000 copies, which is crazy because in the days when No Doubt was out, 115,000 in a couple weeks would be a colossal failure, and now that's like blowing it away.
Is it? And then you've got Mumford & Sons selling 600,000 in their first week. It's like, interesting.
It's crazy. So their first track, Settle Down, was released in July and received pretty mild success, but didn't really do much in the Billboard 100. So the question is, why did it take No Doubt to get an album out after 10 years? Why did it take so long? And the real reason is that in early 2003, Gwen Stefani started work on her own solo career, which ended up being kind of hip-hop, pop, whatever. And she released a couple albums, what were they called here? Love Angel Music Baby, which also stands for LAM, which is her clothing line, which is another thing she's interested in. And then The Sweet Escape in 2006. So, No Doubt started working on this album in 2008, mostly doing a lot of the music by themselves until Gwen could kind of come back into the mix. During that time, she also had a kid, and I think two kids, and it's just sort of...
Married to Gavin Rossdale.
Still married to Gavin Rossdale, so good for her.
Where's the Bush comeback after all this stuff?
They did have a comeback a couple years ago. They had a song that was charted high, actually. It was kind of not Nickelback, but I'm trying to think of the other band that has a lead singer that looks like...
Chevelle.
Chevelle. I don't know. So Push and Shove has received generally positive reviews from music critics. It's got an average score of about 64, which is generally favorable.
According to Wikipedia.
Let's take a listen to a clip from the album. It's called One More Summer. It's less ska and more ballad. Hit it. So Push and Shove's been out for a bit now. You can find it in stores. Let's talk about it. I'll kick it off. So I think it's a good parallel between what No Doubt has done and what Green Day has done. For better or for worse, No Doubt is still the same band that they were when they started. Maybe a little less Southern California ska. But No Doubt was always very a bipolar band. They had that, we're tough ska punk kids, and then they would segue over into the balladeer type of stuff where Gwen would be singing about her failed relationships and stuff like that. And those songs actually were were much more popular in general. Those are the songs like Don't Speak really pumped them up into the popular stratosphere. So a lot of their up-tempo stuff really wasn't as big, I think. People like to hear about the drama that went along with her love life. So I think this album kind of does that sort of thing. They have a few up-tempo songs, stuff that sounds kind of current. Maybe you could have found a good chunk of the stuff off of her solo albums. And then they've got the balladeer stuff that we just played there, or the more introspective girl poppy type stuff. And I respect them for doing what they're doing, but there's no message of change here. The band hasn't really changed that much, with the exception of maybe more keyboards, more synth than what they did when they were younger.
Maybe some bands just aren't capable of
that. Yeah, I mean, it just sort of is what it is. I don't feel like they're trying to fuck me over or
wow.
You know what I mean?
I would say that there is a pretty big departure from especially the early stuff. But if you look at their last album together, it had almost no brass instruments.
Sure.
On it. And this almost sounds like this could have been like the items that were cut from that album.
Sure.
They just cleaned them up and turned it into a full album.
I mean, I've liked No Doubt, you know, a lot over the years. And I think that since the mid-90s, their sound has been fairly consistent.
Yeah.
I mean, the ska stuff, it's like they put a song in there for, you know, hey, wink, wink to the fans. But
right.
That's not really what they turned into. I think they turned into a top 40 band that has some alternative leanings.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're looking to be on the Ryan Seacrest stations in the country. And I think they're probably fine with that, you know?
Yeah.
So there you go. Jared, what do you say?
You know, I haven't had a lot of time to devote into this one, but I definitely responded better to this one than I did to Green Day. You know, if we're gonna draw the parallel between '90s bands releasing new albums, I think No Doubt is the better of the two. I didn't really respond that greatly to the lead-off single. I think both that and the Green Day single like came out like the same week or something, and I just remember hearing both and going, wow, these just aren't that exciting to me. I don't know. Maybe I've changed. Maybe they haven't. I don't know what the formula is there. But I just think, overall, just kind of listening to this album while working on other stuff, I liked it better than the Green Day one. And I think you're right. I think maybe they've just... They've been consistent with their sound, at least from where we left them off. Last time they did a full band album. And this is sort of a continuation of that. Not really an evolution, but certainly not trying to step backward either, like Green Day did.
Adam?
Yeah, it's... I don't know which version of the album I was listening to on Spotify, but there were like three or four remixes at the very end of it. I liked every one of those songs more than any.
You love a good remix.
There was like, there's at least an acoustic remix or something version of the lead single. I'm like, oh, hey, this sounds better.
I like that one. Yeah.
Sort of response.
To the point where I got confused and I thought that was the lead single. And then the next time it would come back through the playlist and it would play the normal one first, I would kind of be disappointed.
So what that tells me is that they probably could have benefited from a producer who may have maybe pushed them in a more modern direction.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Same
songs, just different production arrangements, and they could have been a better album.
Yeah, possibly. No Doubt, since, I don't know, 95 has not been a band that I liked. I think I had something against Gwen Stefani. It was the thing on her forehead.
Oh, yeah.
Her little bindi.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Yeah. Oh, no, you're right. I was hiccuping at the same time. It came out as a laugh or something. This album was probably my least enjoyable that we listened to this week. Maybe even I disliked it more than Green Day. And I'm not sure why. I think I have some sort of grudge that I can't get over. And
you've always been a bit of a hipster, even before there were hipsters, in the sense that you...
You mean dads are the original hipsters.
Yeah.
You know that, right?
Yeah. You rebel against... What is?
I don't think I'm trying to be contrarian. I'm not. That's not what's happening right here.
But it's
this is not like an album that's getting all hundreds.
No. I don't mean to say that you like intentionally rebel. It just does that stuff doesn't appeal to you in general. You'd rather listen to something else that might challenge you in a different way than listen to something that would be played along next to Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. I feel like she whines too much, and I think her voice bugs me. I kind of like the instrumentation and. Some of the some of the like the beats that are even in the non-remix songs are like these good driving
sure
songs, and then she comes in and whines.
Well, you got to wonder, you know, her life seems to be pretty good. I mean, how many relationships can she really bitch about?
Not none at this point.
None. Yeah. She's got it all figured
She's
out,
pretty
ladies.
Stabilized.
Well, let's give this a score and keep pushing on with our Scope Mega Music Review.
The Scope score is 1.75 star.
There we go.
Would you call this an autumn tune blast, Shane?
I like an autumn tune blast.
An autumn audio extravaganza.
Okay, sure. All right.
Yeah, that's a lot of words to write down.
It's back to me, isn't it?
Jared, what is your second album of review?
Second album I will review is the latest from Mumford & Sons. The darlings of the record industry right now, is having sold 600,000 in their first week up. English folk revivalists Mumford & Sons' 2009 debut, Sigh No More, boarded the slowest train it could find on its journey from the regional gem to pleasantly surprising international success story. So basically, it took a while to get noticed.
I get it.
After simmering and stewing throughout the UK and Europe, the band landed boots first at the Staples Center for a rousing performance at the 2011 Grammy Awards that found the smartly dressed quartet tearing through the cave and then backing, along with the equally snappy Avett brothers, Bob Dylan, on the generation-spanning rendition of Maggie's Farm, that provided one of the better Grammy moments of the last decade or so. I didn't see it. I don't watch awards show. Shane, any opinion of that? Did you see it?
I probably saw it in passing.
All right. That's fine. They may lack the lyrical prowess of The Bard. I believe, I don't know if that's a reference to Shakespeare, but it's in air quotes here.
Well, you should know because you wrote it.
I did not write this. Copied and pasted. But they know how to turn a phrase, plant a seed, and build a bridge, and tear it back down again without losing the audience in the process. Simply put, they can bend the relative simplicity of traditional folk music to their collective wills, which is exactly what they do on their sophomore outing, Babel. As it is pronounced in the lead single.
It's not how that movie title is pronounced.
Babel.
Yes.
I would have gone with Babel, but then when I listened to it again this morning, they'd clearly say Babel, so I'm going with Babel. It's also exactly what they did on their debut. And short of being a little rowdier and raspier, Babel feels less like a legitimate sequel and more like an expanded edition of the former. Working again with producer Marcus Dravs, I don't know, who he worked with Arcade Fire on The Suburbs. So I guess I kind of hear some of the production overlaps there. What are you doing over there? Laughing at pictures.
He has a
on your
very
phone.
Funny screen on his phone. Right
it's
now.
A gorilla high-fiving a shark.
An explosion with the background.
Well, you can't beat that, really. I should just stop reading and we'll just talk about that picture. Let's see. The Mumford Boys have crafted another set of incredibly spirited songs that bark much louder than they bite. Ballsy, pain, fiery, and fraught with near constant references to sin, salvation, and all of the pontifical hopes and doubts that lie between. Boy, this guy likes to write. This guy really likes to write.
I want to know how much of this you agree with.
Yeah. 0.0.
See, all right. Delivering its everyman message, blah, 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 with calculated spiritual fervor, and comes with having adapt the festival masses as opposed to the smaller club crawls. There you go.
Nice.
So basically, I liked probably my favorite song on the album is the lead single. It's called I Will Wait. They played it on SNL 2 weeks ago or whatever. I liked it there. I like it on the album. I'm going to play a clip for it here, and we'll find out if you guys like it. Here we go.
These days of darkness, which we've known, will blow away. But I'll kneel down, wait for now. And I'll kneel down, know my ground. And I will wait for you. And
so I agree quite a bit with the sentiment in the opening text about how this album feels like it's kind of a continuation of their first album, because this song sounds a lot like The Cave, which doesn't mean I don't like it. I listened to them sort of back to back today. Yeah. I'm like, wow, even that soaring note on the word mm-hmm. I, it's like, this is very, very similar. Yeah, but you know what? I still like it. There's something about their music that gets to me. I don't know, there's a soul to it. There's like an emotional resonance that I can't help but respond to when I hear it. And I don't know, I really like the arrangements. I read something, I think it was in Entertainment Weekly, about how this sort of Americana folksy type of music is sort of filling the void left by country music acts that are now becoming more pop acts, and how country music people are responding to this. So I don't know, maybe this is my foray into country music. I don't know. I like it. I like the production on it. I think it's very, very clean and spacious, and I don't know. I love the harmonies. I never thought I would really like enjoy music that had a bunch of banjo on it, but I don't think there's too much banjo, so maybe that's it. I may just need a little dab of banjo. Like, if you're going to do like full-on like bluegrass music, for whatever reason, I don't really like. Maybe it's too much banjo, too much fiddly country stuff. I don't know. But this, I like. And maybe it's because they're from London, and so they're not so... they're not raised in the culture, and they feel like they have to do it a certain way. They seem like they're kind of putting their own spin on it, which I really appreciate. There you go.
Yep. You want to introduce me? It sounds like I'm just going to cut off.
I just wanted
Jared
to.
Now. All right.
Just cut him right off.
This is a weird band for me to like. I don't listen to music actively ever. It's always passive, except when we're doing reviews.
Except when it's a remix.
Right.
It's a mashup.
I stop everything and I just listen. so this is the type of music where when I have it on at work, it kind of makes me work slower.
Sleepy?
it doesn't make me sleepy, but it does, like, I don't know, my brain reacts to the sounds around me, and so that's why I typically like to listen to hip-hop and you know, like, dancey things at work. And this is the opposite of that. but what it did...
It's interesting, because a lot of it is just four on the floor, straight ahead, driving
you're
rhythms,
right.
But it's...
Yes. But I don't know, so I don't know what it is about it, but it kind of forced me to listen to it. It's like when I used to listen to Howard Stern at work, and... I can't just like
Bigfoot would come on.
Right.
It is.
And it's on in the background, but I have to listen to it if I'm going to engage with it. And I kind of felt like that with this. In every song that I listen to, I must listen to this album four times. I don't remember any song. Like, nothing sticks out except for the single, because I've heard it on the current.
It's like a soundscape for you, right?
Yeah. Every time I would stop and listen, I'd be like, this is really nice. And then I'm like, okay, I have to work now. So I'd like pop one of my earbuds out so that I could not hear it around me, and that would help me work. But it's really pretty.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is really the only way for me to put it. And Jerry, I like what you said about the banjos, because, yeah, they're not like, they don't draw you out. I kind of think the banjos are probably the only thing that could have been used in those songs, and they sound like they fit in there. They don't sound weird or out of place or too much.
Played by Kermit the Frog, by the
way. Right. he does kind of have a British Kermit the Frog voice now that I think about it.
He does.
It's not my kind of music, you know, because of all those things that I was saying, but I was able to enjoy it more. I probably didn't listen to the whole first album just because I knew I wouldn't like it, and I only heard the singles, which I guess were almost half the album.
they have a lot of singles on the chart right now. very popular.
But I still appreciated it for what it was, and that was good to hear.
It's the sort of thing where it's like, I don't feel like I'm going to go seek out more of this type of music, mm-hmm. but this particular example of this type of music, I like to enjoy, and I agree with you. It's like, it sort of blends together and becomes a nice, pleasant soundscape. But there isn't going to be those super huge standout moments all the time. Which just seems to be a common thread through a lot of what we're reviewing right now.
So let me preface what I have to say about this, is that I like the album.
Yep.
But, so, bear with me on this. You know, the Mumford & Sons and the Avett Brothers, they sort of represent a shift in the musical climate, right? It's sort of this folksy, revitalized music that really has not been in the public eye since...
Probably the 60s.
The 60s.
Yeah.
And
it's not necessarily 60s music.
No.
But, yeah, folk music of this type hasn't been popular since the 60s.
When you get such a shift in the musical landscape, I feel like that has to come from a place of truth and honesty of where society is at that point. So if you look at, like, the grunge movement and how that reflected, a bit of the angst of the teenager and the rebellion against the glam music of the 80s, and then you can look at, you know, the late 90s and this boy band and this pop music and stuff like that that's really very much commercial. And it seemed to reflect the taste of the times. I don't know where this folk music is coming from, because it doesn't reflect anything that I feel. It doesn't reflect any of what my friends feel. So it's confusing to me.
I think the problem that you're seeing is that there isn't a taste of the time anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe and that's just how I think music is now. It's so easy to find a taste that you like and then find other acts that are like that maybe nobody's ever heard of before. But there's all these little pockets of community that you can find on the internet or whatever. And yes, the Mumford & Sons have blown up to be huge. That's fine. But I just think that there isn't an overarching sound of the times anymore, because everyone can find their own little pocket of what they like.
Well, I, you know,
it's all Justin Vernon salt.
I sort of equate it back to some of the people I see walking around town. I tweeted this. You know, I was walking through downtown Minneapolis, and there was a guy in front of me who literally was trying to look like a hobo from the early 1900s. He had you know, the tight, you know, jeans that were, you know, like that's the trend in jeans, where they're very tight and they're, you know, they're trying to look old school. They're all built by hand with the rivets done and pounded in. Okay. But yet the jeans cost $350.
Did he have a little bindle and a stick?
He has like the work shirt that looks like it's something out of the Grapes of Wrath. He has kind of the Bagger Vance hat going on. He had the thin suspenders that that came to the back, where there was a giant leather thing, and then it was a single suspender down the back. And then he had
classic old timey suspenders.
And he had the pants sort of rolled up and the work boots. And then he had a handkerchief in his back pocket hanging out.
So I just watched Grapes of Wrath for a class I'm in. I think it's all Grapes of Wrath is what you're describing, because the hat and everything.
You know what I'm talking about? Like this, and so
he was in the Grapes of Wrath.
That's how I picture people. Maybe. But and he was talking on his iPhone.
That handkerchief is just for show, because it is just
for show.
He's like, not going to be wiping sweat from his brow or cleaning tools
or snotting. You know, he's sick. I mean, it's like, come on. And so it rings.
Handkerchiefs are green.
It rings false to me, and I don't. It's like I
don't. You feel like the music reflects that too.
Yeah, to me, the music does not reflect any truth or honesty. It reflects people saying, "Ah, I want to do something different."
Was he listening to Mumford and Sons? I don't understand why you're equating this band.
That's
to
just
this guy.
Because that's how Mumford and Sons dresses. That's how the Avett Brothers dress. Yes,
dress like
I mean
that.
It's in that sort of wheelhouse. I don't.
All white people look the same to me.
It doesn't matter. You know, the music's still good. It's interesting. It just. It does not come from a place of honesty for me, so I have a hard time backing it. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm completely wrong and being an asshole about it.
I was going to ask you, because I thought you were going on, you were going to start talking about, like, this is authentic. What happens when the inauthentic folk music comes? Like, the Seven Mary Three. Yeah.
Because it's coming.
Yeah, it'll come. I mean, you'll have the people.
But it sounds like you're saying it's already inauthentic.
I just...
Like
I say, I don't know where these 20-year-olds from London, where this type of music is driving the direction in their life or their musical whatever. I mean, other than hearing Bob Dylan and saying, I want to do something like that, or, you know, I just...
But maybe the music is coming from, just like in the 50s and 60s, it's coming from a different place where those things are real, and they just happen to appeal to Americans. Like, maybe that stuff is coming from austerity in Europe and stuff like that.
It might be. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, it could just be a wish to return to simpler times, because our world has gotten so complex and our political climate is so charged and angry and stuff. Maybe you just want something that harkens back to a simpler age.
Maybe. And it might be something that I just don't understand those influences, and I'm fine with that. But
things are better when women couldn't vote.
I just think that some people do it just because, hey, I'm a cool hipster and I'm going to do that. I don't like using the word hipster.
You sound like an old man when you talk like this.
Thank you.
So we've seen dubstep kind of influence popular music, either as remixes or just directly as part of the production. When do we start seeing the folk remixes, the folk production touches start hitting just regular mainstream popular music?
It's after.
Is it going to happen, or am I just being stupid?
I think you're right. I knew that dubstep was big when I heard the Mr. Belvedere dubstep remix on YouTube. So when I hear the English folk music dubstep, Could we combine dubstep
English
and
folk music? Now that I could get behind.
If we could do something like a folk step or something, yeah, that folk would be step. Awesome.
You've done it.
I'm writing that down. Folk step. Copyright it, Jared. Folkstep.com. Does it exist?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. And I, like I said, for my opinion is that I like the music. It took when we reviewed the Avett Brothers. Was it like 2 years ago? We reviewed them, mm-hmm. and that was listener generated.
Yep.
That was probably the tip of the iceberg. I mean, that was before anything.
Because they have a new album out now.
And
too.
I was like, what the fuck is this all about? I mean, I don't get it at all. But you know, it sort of grew on me over time. And same with Mumford & Sons. I mean, it's something that I can put into my regular mix of music and still appreciate it for what it is. I just, when you start dealing with folk music, which has a long tradition of activism and has, you know, reflecting society and unrest and just, you know, feelings of what's going on, mm-hmm. compare that to Backstreet Boys, which doesn't reflect anything.
Right.
I just want to know where that, I want to know where that comes from, and I want to know if that's genuine. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I also think that there's a fine line between, maybe there's not even a line, between this music and adult contemporary. And so maybe the thing you were talking about earlier, Shane, about how I don't like those things makes me unable to really appreciate this. But I don't know.
Maybe.
I just don't want to admit I'm old.
You're old. Whatever.
I know.
I'm searching for folk step right now. It's grinding, Jared. We might have a chance.
Great. Should we give this a score?
Let's
in the
give
meantime?
It a score.
The soap score is 2.5 stars.
Did you just say you're searching on Grindr? For folk stuff?
No, oh, I said goodness. It's grinding right now.
You are going to get some sort of matches there. Yeah. Shane's going to have a date tonight, that's for sure.
So we've got one last album, which might be the complete opposite of Mumford & Sons.
Yeah, or anything we've
or anything.
Talked about. All right. So we're also reviewing Matt and Kim. Matt and Kim is an indie dance band. That's a genre that doesn't really mean anything anymore, it seems like. It's a two-person band, like you might expect from the name.
Like Japandroids.
Yeah,
but Japandroids not really sounding like them.
Right. aren't there three people in Japan?
I thought there were just two. Okay. I don't know. They were just on Sound Opinion recently. So,
Lightning is their latest album. It's their fourth. And kind of like their previous three, it's packed full of mostly shallow sounding songs, but they're all up tempo. In a lot of ways, this reminds me of a modern day version of Green Day in a lot of ways because they're like 10 songs. The album's like 29 minutes, and it just finishes real quick, and each song kind of rapidly wants to get to the next song. It's a very energetic album, and often seems like there are other albums to have cut critical response right down the middle. Shane mentioned, which one were you reviewing? Oh, No Doubt. Got like a 64 on Metacritic. This one has a 66 right now. If one is not apt to enjoy such a peppy album like Shane, it's probably sound like nails on a chalkboard, but 31 minutes of nails on a chalkboard, so not too bad. And
so I'll just strap in for a little
The
while.
Most important part is that we all know that this album has exactly what it takes to appeal to the masses, at least the masses of me, hand claps. Hand claps and lots of songs. So here's a clip of Tonight. This album has not only hand clapping, it has a repeating kind of crescendo where it rises and crashes and rises and crashes again.
Let's go get dirty, cause your dress is too white. New York is love, and we're turning it up.
Yeah, so that's the album. I love it. I love every one of their albums. I realize that they're dumb. And like I admit they're shallow sounding and maybe shallow too. I don't really listen to the lyrics, but that's the album. It is really listenable, if that's a word.
I think it is.
What?
I think it is a word, listenable.
Yeah.
I've got two comments. Number one, folk step is something that's sort of in the vernacular. There's no website for it, but people have mentioned it.
Okay.
Two, Adam probably picked
in the vernacular. I love it.
Adam probably picked the best song from the album, and that's all I have to say. Go ahead, Jared.
I didn't really know anything about Matt and Kim going into this, so I just I fired this into my new music playlist on Spotify and just went in with an open mind, and I have to say I really liked it. I'm not sure. To me, and this is a comparison I made to Shane over I Am. I said, to me, it sounds like it's sort of in the vein of Passion Pit and M83, but with a dash of Sleigh Bells.
Mm-hmm.
The Sleigh Bells part for me is just it's sort of the kind of the the sparseness of the arrangements and kind of the space that they live in. I don't know how to even compare that, but it's just sort of the vibe that I got from it. And I've been really liking all of those three bands lately, so this sort of feels similar to me, and since I don't listen to lyrics right away, I don't know how shallow they might be.
No.
I just kind of enjoyed the music for what it was, and you know, some songs are nice, peppy, and up-tempo, like the one we heard to. Some have a little bit more of a darker, more aggressive vibe to them, and I'll definitely come back to this one again. I don't know how many other albums they have.
They're all basically the same.
Okay, I may have to check them out.
Their first one's like way more lo-fi. No, their second one's like a lo-fi album, but it's all still like every song's got, you know, probably a BPM of like over 180 or something ridiculous. Like they're all, it's just driving beats the whole time. I don't know. I like it. I like it a lot. And I hadn't thought about this until I just heard that song again. Junior Senior is a similar band that's incredibly shallow again. Let's talk about, I don't know, bunnies or something.
At least they're a couple of gay dudes.
What does that mean?
Aye.
These guys could be a couple of gay dudes.
Doubtful.
You're probably right. You've heard stuff for the last album on commercials, though. Like, well, if anyone listens to commercials anymore. Like,
always.
There was.
I see them, and, you know, they take about 2 seconds to get through.
Yeah. Beep, boop, pop, pop.
Yeah. you know, as someone who's sort of really rebelled about the trend of kind of synthy, dancey driven indie pop bands, I just really did not want to like them at all when they first started coming around. I've sort of started to really like them, you know. Even some of the, I don't know if they're, you know, you would consider them one of the earlier ones, but, you know, your MGMT, I've gone back and listened to them now through Spotify and go, you know what? I actually like this stuff. So I don't like it all, but I've certainly started to appreciate it a lot more. So,
yeah, you made the M83 comparison. I really like M83.
Me
like,
too.
I feel like that latest album might be like one of my favorite albums in the last 10 years. So like to me,
I was really just throwing out, you know, synth driven dance pop indie bands that I know of right now.
Yeah,
and that sounds sort of similar.
That album occupies a completely different space than
sure.
this to me. But yes, I agree that they have kind of relatable things to them. I don't understand how you could like an M83, but then just completely dislike this album. Like you used hate in all caps on I Am.
Yeah, it's different. Right. M83 is different than this band.
They're French.
Did you ever listen to Sleigh Bells? Do you like them at all?
They're okay. Yeah. And I liked the.
By the way, I hated Sleigh Bells initially, and now I really like them. So
the last album from these guys, from Matt and Kim, I liked that album.
Did you?
Or I liked portions of it. Like I said, I might have just been in a funk when I was listening to this, but it's a fine line with music like this for me. Between enjoying it and being annoyed by it. And I think they crossed the line on this one for most of it for me.
If I were in a bad mood where I didn't want to listen to peppy music and I heard this
I was
album,
just like, okay, I get it. You know, that's how I felt. That's what it was.
You were fighting with the song. Like, okay. I get what you're doing. Yeah. Stop.
Thank
stop.
God it's short.
You didn't realize you had the power to just turn it off.
Yeah, I didn't know. Like, I gotta listen to this.
All right.
Give it a score, please.
Soap score is 2.75 stars.
I think you recused yourself from this one, didn't you?
Yeah, I took myself out of the running. So
that's why it's a little higher, because Adam and I liked it.
But, you know, around here, we share.
Yeah.
We share. So I think that's it, Jared.
That is it.
We've gone through all of our music.
Where the hell am I on my playlist? Here?
Very eclectic.
Wow.
Very eclectic. We did it. We did a good job. Suck it, Rolling Stone.
Awesome.
Suck it. So let's take a break. We'll get back to you.
Let's take a break.
More Scope. Take a break after this.
This is The Fump.
You close your freezer door. It doesn't let go out. assault puts me into space. Makes me kind of hungry for someone else's face.
He'll be the world's most faithful suitor when he sees the tattoo of Captain Kirk on your rooters. With the geek by your side.
Dial 867-5309 to call up Jenny and I'll make a mine.
In the 80s, we'll talk about days gone by. In the 80s, when a woman's hair was high.
That's the Funny Music Project at thefump.com. THEFUMP.com. Point.
Three geeks on the internet. WSCP.
Under the Scope. We are back in a linear fashion with Under the Scope, and we always start it off with a news.
Was that a strange pronunciation of anus?
Yeah.
Anus?
Anus. Vagina hangs low like sleeve of wizard in the anus.
I thought we needed a fresh
Your damn
start.
Word recognition of anus keeps on...
Prostitutes. Go ahead, Adam. With anus.
Did I already make this? No, I must not have. A few weeks ago, there was a story about Jesus talking about how he had a wife at some point.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Showed up on a piece of papyrus or something.
Yeah. Right.
And a business card
now,
size.
I watched as many like news shows and even funny news shows to see if anyone would make the most obvious joke about that. And no one did. And I was really upset that no one said, "My wife."
Right? Very nice.
All right. This is a shitty week for news, guys. I got to tell you. So,
well, then you got to make it your own,
all
bitch.
Right. So
give me my sound bit, Jared.
What?
Give me my
sound. I don't have it on my board yet. I don't think.
Son of a bitch!
Dang it! All right, you. Just,
all right, I'll keep going.
You work on it, Jared.
So the debates were this week, mm-hmm. or one debate was this week. One guy participated in the debate this week. You could maybe say
what was that, Jared?
Bitches.
Wow.
I do have it out here.
Your head should be doing like side to side
Double
when you
bitches.
Say that. Whoa. What's that from?
Double bitches.
I don't know. I was like angry this? At the last time.
I guess
time.
So.
Yeah, we got to talk about this debate, Adam.
Ugh, do we have to?
Were you disgusted by it?
It was, yeah. Yes. Here's why it was a bad debate for Barack Obama. Anyone can say whatever they want. I think in the end it'll be fine. But Mitt Romney makes a... So Barack Obama makes a comment about how companies currently get a tax break of some sort by moving jobs out of America.
Yeah.
To which Mitt Romney says, that's not true. And then Obama says, yes, it is. And Mitt Romney says, well, I need a better accountant then. Implying that he could have saved money by moving all the jobs that he moved when he worked for Bain out of the country. Right?
Right.
Saying, oh, I did that so much, I could have saved money because I'm pretending not to know about it. And Obama doesn't say anything about it. Like right there,
he's got to crush him. Is what
he
could?
Yes, he could have said.
He didn't say anything about the tired Medicare line, about how right. the Obama has cut $716 billion dollars out of Medicare for current mm-hmm. people, and how he's not actually cutting. There were so many points of attack that he didn't take.
Yeah. Now, I guess it is worth mentioning that there have been a lot of thoughts from the pundits about why.
You're actually a pundit right now, so...
Yeah, and sure, okay, then what I would like to believe is that what Team Obama did was, let's just let Romney lie all he wants.
Get it all on the record.
Yep, and then use all of them in ads, because we know we're going to have more money over the last 5 weeks of the campaign than they are. Use him actually saying things that's more impactful than the debates. Which, 40 million people watch, but 99% of those are decided voters. Low-information voters don't watch the debates. It's not going to be a big deal. I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not.
And I heard that the goal of Team Obama was to have a conversation with America rather than play it, you know, play in the realm of the debate, which I think is a mistake.
Is that
first
why
of
he
all.
Didn't talk to Romney? He talked to the yeah. screen and talked to Jim.
So that was their goal, and that he was just going to kind of do what Clinton did during his speech, was lay it out there with facts and whatever.
Well,
but the problem is that, you know, when you have the other guy who is engaging in a one-sided conversation, making you look limp-wristed, or
I don't think that's what you're going
no,
for on that.
Making him look
weak-willed.
Yeah, weak-willed. Thank you. Not gay.
That you heard it here first.
Hatred of gays right here.
Equates being gay
Vote yes.
with weak.
Vote yes. You know what I mean.
There is one thing you can look at, too, and maybe this is just wishful thinking on the part of people who lean left, but and I talked about this to Shane, of course. Everything happens where I am, but
yeah.
Rachel Maddow diagrammed it out in her Thursday show how since presidential debates have been televised, only once has the incumbent president won the first debate. I don't know if you can draw any sort of correlation or conclusions from that, but that's just something that's out there. So, you know, buck up, campers. There's two more to go.
Yeah. Or three, if you want to include the
vice.
Probable
it does.
Debacle.
Unfortunately, it does put a lot more pressure on Biden to have a good showing yeah. in incoming vice presidential
and
debate.
And it's
not that it really matters because the VP doesn't do shit anyway.
Right.
But it's not like Biden is going against a cakewalk of Sarah Palin, which was a hot mess before he got into that. He's got actually someone here who can talk.
Well, but Paul Ryan doesn't have time to get into the details of his tax plans. So.
And the other thing to keep in mind is that from all accounts, Joe Biden's people told him not to attack Sarah Palin because it would make him look mean
like
and
an
aggressive.
Asshole.
Yeah.
So
you don't pick on a woman.
Right. So we don't know what that debate even was, you
sure.
know, from 4 years ago. I don't know that Joe Biden can do this without saying something incredibly dumb.
Yeah.
But we'll see. So anyway, but maybe the one good thing to come out of this for Obama is that the biggest thing that apparently anyone remembers about the debate is that Mitt Romney said he wanted to defund PBS.
Yeah.
Fire Big Bird.
Fire Big Bird.
Or that he likes Big Bird, but then, right. of course,
but,
it turned into...
I don't need to pay him because that's only one... What's the percentage? It's some insanely small...
0.012% of the federal budget.
So let's get them first.
Right. So a couple things to note about that is that PBS itself gets zero federal dollars. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting does get that 0.012%, but most of that money goes to PBS stations throughout the country that don't get enough donations or don't get enough funding from state governments. And where are all of those PBS stations located? What states are those stations located
in? Red states
that don't get supported.
Right. Yeah. So like New York, California stations, they're fine. They don't get any of that money. Yeah, so they're stations predominantly in the South and in the Midwest, where, you know, there's less money going to the arts, I guess you could say. So,
but
yeah,
as some people say,
more
Sesame
money
Street,
going to
Sesame
cousin
Street
screwing.
And PBS are unwatchable now. So why would we even fund them?
Well,
it's a bullshit argument.
That's
what some people have said.
That comment, there's a subtext there of PBS, which is it's just a underground liberal breeding ground. I mean, that's really what he's saying.
That's the same reason they don't want to fund NPR.
Yep.
It's, yeah.
But, yeah. They'll fund Fox News, I guess, right? Is that going to
sure.
be the impression there?
Wow.
Whoa. So, anyway, PBS kind of got upset. They,
hammered back.
Their president made a bunch of statements saying they're very disappointed that PBS became a political target. Governor Romney does not understand the value the American people place on the public broadcasting. And the outstanding return on investment the system delivers to our nation. And then there were a lot of really funny Big Bird tweets and memes that came the next day, too.
There were, but then they extended into Friday, and it was like enough
right.
already.
Yeah, it was done. Next up, this is the only other political news, I think, of the...
All right. I'm not on the right tab. I want to hit this.
The Obama administration in one day uncovered $430 million in Medicare fraud. It was funny because Wednesday, bad debate. Thursday, $430 million saved in Medicare fraud busts. Friday, jobs numbers.
Yep. That all a scam, by
Wait,
the way.
Wait, so you're saying Obama has already cut $434 million from Medicare?
Yes, that's...
How dare he?
Right, exactly.
So is that a little questionable, the timing of something like that?
It
honestly?
Wasn't, probably not, because the group that's in charge of this, they're like 19 steps away from getting, you know, direct whatever. Also, fraud, I don't think people are like looking at like, oh yeah, Obama busted these guys. I don't know, but I can't imagine that. Also, interesting about this, so it's $430 million in Medicare fraud, which is $130 million more than the Corporation for Public Broadcasting gets. $300 million goes to PBS.
Basically. So cut out the fraud, and you've already paid. For
You're
PBS.
Already positive. Yeah.
Wow.
91 people, including doctors, nurses, and other medical professionals, were charged with a criminal Medicare fraud investigation involving $430 million in false billing in 7 cities: Houston, Dallas, Brooklyn, Baton Rouge, Chicago, L.A., and Miami.
Hmm.
You guys affected by that at all?
I don't think so.
Good. Over the past 5 years, 1,480 suspects have been arrested on Medicare fraud cases, totaling $4.8 billion.
Wow.
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's switch over to TV.
The happy times.
2 weeks about, right? 2 or 3 weeks into the full fall season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How are the networks doing?
Wishing I had picked The Mob Doctor as my first show canceled. Just saying that now.
Oh, yeah.
You picked Last Resort, right?
I did.
That's a mistake.
That was a mistake.
I don't know.
I acknowledge it now. Anyway, go on.
Here's what I know about that.
Yeah.
Ratings for ABC's Last Resort continue to dive.
Oh, uh-oh. My goodness.
Uh-oh.
The action drama was down 18% for the second week.
That's hurtful.
Yeah. 7.9 million, though. Still.
What did we pick, Adam? I forget.
That's pretty low. Ooh. I may have actually picked a winner.
Kids we'll and see. Something? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Dads with Kids?
That
yeah.
hasn't even...
Guys with
has
Kids?
Has that even started?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw there was the second episode was on... Oh, right before the debate. Good lead-in, NBC.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Their Tuesday night stuff's doing well.
Mm-hmm. Final season of 30 Rock performed real poorly out of the gates. The Emmy-winning veteran comedy had...
I don't think they're going to get more people at this point.
But they had less. Only had 3.4 million viewers and a 1.3 rating.
Ouch.
That's down 28% from their premiere last year and 24% from last year's premiere of Community, which was in the exact same spot. So I don't know what 30 Rock was already a half season for this year, right?
Yeah.
For their final. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Whatever.
It's not like they're going to cut.
They're going to get it.
Yeah.
And it's just going to do poorly. And those of us who stuck around will probably enjoy it.
CBS's Elementary also dropped about 15%. It's still.
But it's still doing well.
2 million.
Though.
Yeah. Yeah. Overall, most shows dipped a bit. CBS was still in first place. Big Bang with 15.5 million. Two and a Half Men with 13 million. All that good stuff. Fox was in second with The X Factor and Glee, whatever. ABC third, like we mentioned, Last Resort. And then, of course, fourth place, NBC, Up All Night with 3 million, The Office with 4 million. That's the same as last week. But big news, Parks and Rec led the night for NBC with $5.2 million, a 20% jump from the previous week.
You said $5.2
million. $5.2 million people. Each person is worth a dollar to me.
Gotcha.
I don't know if you knew that.
Now I do. I thought last week's Parks and Rec was back on point. That the premiere was not that good.
Yeah,
the second
wasn't.
One was pretty good.
I don't like this. I still don't like the splitting locations business.
That's no. They got to shape that up. You know, a lot of people talking through webcams on TV shows right now. Big Bang, they do it.
FaceTime.
Big Bang.
Let's see. You guys play video games, right?
I've been known to light up a console or two.
A console.
Video game council.
How do you feel about EA's boss of video games? Boss of video games? That's a weird title.
I like that. I need that on my business card. Boss of video games.
Refusing to publish single-player games going forward.
Did you say that again?
He is refusing to publish single-player games going forward.
Interesting.
It's
not a terrible
idea.
We
are very proud of the way EA evolved with consumers, he says. I have not greenlit one game to be developed as a single-player experience. Today, all of our games include online applications and digital services to make them live 24/7, 365.
Does that mean that you can't have a game that has a single player part, but then you can also play it with multiple people?
Things like Battlefield they produce, which
has
single player.
I don't
think
they're saying that they're getting rid of games that have a single player component. I think they're saying games like
Zelda. They would not do Zelda.
Sure.
Right. Or unless they found a way to shoehorn multiplayer into a mode in Zelda. This kind of comes on the heels of Dead Space 3, which will have multiplayer in it, and rumored multiplayer for Dragon Age 3.
Hmm. Well, if it doesn't take away from the single person experience, and the multiplayer experience is great. I think that's a fair strategy.
I think
and they can also make money on it, so yeah. There you go.
With what Assassin's Creed, I think a lot of people were real skeptical about the multiplayer in that.
I don't like it that much.
It's at least kind of, it's unique and interesting. Like, it doesn't take away from anything,
no.
You hope. Like, maybe they devoted, you know, there were 100 man hours that left the single player experience, but... You know, when they can do interesting things like that, it's nice. But there are lots of examples of, you know, them adding in random multiplayer things to games that don't fit, and things seem to
like OJ's
suffer for them. Yeah, yeah. One other really big video game piece of news came out just almost 2 weeks ago.
Really,
the Wii U has been announced with a date and price,
mm-hmm.
November 18th.
And how much does it cost?
$300 for the cheap one.
What's in the cheap one?
The one you don't want to get.
Okay. Don't get the cheap one, Jared.
All right.
It's 8
gig. I could not get all of them and save a bunch of money.
Yeah. It comes with 8 gigs of built-in storage. You can add hard drives to these. So the built-in storage means nothing.
Yeah.
It's weird that they're even doing that. But the deluxe one comes with a year or 18 months of their version of Xbox
Live
Gold.
Their premium online service.
Yeah. Which sounds like you'll get, like, you can download games instantly, even, like, retail games. You'll get discounts on some of those, kind of similar to what PlayStation's doing with PlayStation Plus. So I don't understand why because it's only $300, but it seems like the $351 is the better deal. The bigger question, do either of you have any interest in buying this?
So let me tell you something. Let me tell you something.
There's no yes or no answer from Shane.
I have purchased every Nintendo console on the day that it came out.
Including portables?
Not that.
Okay.
Home systems. Since the N64.
All right.
Everyone.
So and, you got the N64.
Oh, only N64.
You got the GameCube. You got the
Wii.
Wii.
That's it. There's three.
So. Three.
All right.
Wow. What a champion.
That is over like a 12-year period.
It's a long time, Jared. I mean, it's...
Every console.
I need to isolate that. Wow. What a champion line.
I got to tell you this. I'm not that excited about this at all. You know, maybe it's just I'm an old man. Maybe that's sort of been a theme that's been coming up. I'm mm-hmm. out of touch with the kids. Mm-hmm. But this does not, number one, seem like a system that is so advanced that you have to have it. It seems like it's like a Wii Deluxe in a lot of ways. And I haven't played my Nintendo Wii in a long time.
Why did
bitches.
You clarify right there?
Because yeah, I just, you know, we don't want to get mixed up with semantics. So I don't know. You know, as we get closer, maybe I would get more excited about it. But
yeah.
with game systems like this, if you're not on board, like on the pre-orders, you're probably not going to get it. So I may have waited long enough to keep myself out of the mix.
What do you think about the fact that Amazon is not going to be selling it? No pre-orders.
Well, they've got
they're fighting with Nintendo,
right?
Basically, told Nintendo to go fly a kite.
What was the reason why they? What was the driving force behind that?
Neither side has said anything for sure, but there were rumors that Nintendo. So, like, the way that returns work, maybe you guys know this a little bit better working at Toys R Us, but, like, the way that when companies...
Yeah, we still work there, as a matter of fact.
You better have a receipt.
When you have to return something to the manufacturer, like, the manufacturer pays for some portion of it, and
yeah.
I guess there was something that happened when the DS and then the 3DS came out, and Nintendo was taking some number of DSs back, and Amazon was like, all right, here's how much you have to give us for that, and they said no.
Mm.
And so Amazon was like, all right, well,
going home. So they're not selling it at all, or they're just not pre-ordering?
They're not selling them at all. Like,
okay, and that's a huge outlet for
that is the biggest retailer, for you know, online retailer, and I think they're technically, you know, like number three in the country or something, so it's, yeah.
Yeah, with the time that I have to play games,
mm-hmm.
to add a whole other system in there, I don't have it. So I said for sure I will get the new Xbox when that comes out. That's my target system. Everything else, I don't know. And I didn't get the PS3 right away either. It took me a few years to get that.
Name of the next Xbox system. What is it going to be called? Let's take bets.
Xbox Next.
Oh, okay.
No, I think it'll be a non-numbered name of some sort.
That's
they'll
your
take
bet.
A cue from Apple, the new Xbox.
Yeah. I mean, they could just do that. It could just be the Xbox. Why wouldn't they?
If something comes out every 8 years, like, why not just call it that? Okay.
And
you don't think they're going to call it the 720?
No. I hope they don't.
Yep.
I mean, Xbox 360 is a terrible name, by the way.
The reason they went for that is because PlayStation 3 was coming out. Right. They wanted something that sounded similar. Yep.
Exactly.
I think it's they've got enough brand integrity now where they could call it Xbox and be fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Jared said.
Xbox just sounds boring. Also, do you capitalize the B in Xbox?
No.
Well, that's our next show. Let's
this
not
is
get
not
into
eBay.
That.
This is Xbox.
Back to TV news. Are you guys keeping up on the American Idol drama?
What is that?
Yes, I
know what that is.
Nicki Minaj and Mariah Carey.
I saw something on BuzzFeed.
They're fighting. They're
it.
Screaming obscenities at each other.
Good. Might be a good
Mariah
show.
Mariah Carey says that Nicki Minaj threatened her with a gun. She said if she had a gun, she would shoot her. She told Barbara Walters that.
I think, and so are you getting into the whole possibility that this is all a setup? Because that's
of course part, this is all a setup.
Part of rumor to get. To get attention, Jared, for the show, they're telling them to do this.
I don't care.
Or they just knew.
Double yeah. bitches.
All right, I don't care either. Here's the last thing. This isn't really news, but...
Double bitches.
Did you guys play SimCity when you were younger?
A little bit. Macintosh.
Yeah, I did.
Black and white.
On the Mac.
Are either you excited for the new SimCity?
Negative.
No?
No.
All right. Well, there was a 10-minute like a walkthrough.
Is there something
of, like,
good about it that I should like?
Yeah, it's like cool. What do you mean? Is there something?
I don't know.
It's SimCity.
Okay.
You type money five times, like if Matt, and an earthquake happens.
It's like if Matt and Kim had sex with Junior Senior and made an album.
That is way better than SimCity.
All right.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Here's the thing.
Is it going to be value priced?
$40, you mean?
I don't know. That's the value price for me is $20 or less.
Oh, no.
Then fuck it.
Jared's out.
I'm out.
Did you guys see that Steam has applications on it now, not just games?
What?
And those applications have achievements.
Like what kind of applications? Are we talking about?
Like
coding, game coding ones. Wow. They're gonna have a word processor that'll be on there and stuff.
That's kind of cool.
They have achievements.
I guess.
Your 1,000th line of code.
Interesting.
Bing.
But you got to pay for the apps, right?
Yeah.
Fuck that.
But Jared is against paying.
Everything's free.
If I can get something good for free, then that's the way to go. Like, I've been using Sublime Text a lot lately.
He's been trying to pitch me on that.
But the thing with that is that all it does is play What I Got every time you hit the return
I
key.
I know, it's sickening.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
And then the Date Rape song every time you hit save.
Hmm. What?
Sublime.
Oh.
That was a good joke, Adam.
Wow.
I was with you 100%.
You. That's not even the right thing.
Jared is hitting buttons.
Everything's on different tabs now.
Oh, come
so
on,
it's like,
Jared.
And
blame the,
this
blame
is a professional
tabs.
Outfit.
Blaming the tabs.
Okay. Are we done with this news?
I guess so.
Okay, Jared, we're done with the news.
Jared's done.
Yeah?
Hit a button and get a crazy sound effect. This is the point of the show when we talk about what's coming next. Next box.
No, coming soon.
Is the end? Soon. Is the end of the show coming soon?
Is the end capitalized? Yes. Adam?
Yes.
Hit me with your best shot.
All right.
Come on.
Music. Is that what we start with usually? Music. October 9th.
Never gets old.
Suzanne Vega has a new album.
I mean, speaking of never getting old.
Can you sing your favorite Suzanne Vega song?
My name is Luca.
Can you sing your second favorite Suzanne Vega song? Is that are those really two different songs? Mm-hmm. I have them in my mind.
And then
mind
she had another one that was called 98 Fahrenheit degrees or something. It was a follow up album in the early 90s that I bought when
who
I
who did the 99 Luftballons?
That was Nena.
Okay. The Script, who's that? Do you know who that is?
That's another one of those piano bands, I think.
The Wallflowers?
They're hot and they're bad.
Are they releasing this album thinking that people will think it's related to the perks of being
we
a
We may have to give it 4 stars.
I made that joke before going to the movie. I'm like, I'm hoping this isn't just a documentary about the man.
Jacob Dylan.
Jacob Dylan, those dreamy blue eyes.
What's going on with Bob Dylan? He has an album that just came out or
he
something?
Did. Yep.
Maybe that's why.
That's what's going
October
on.
October 16th. Wait a minute. Who did that Luftballoon song?
Nena.
N-E-N-A. Mika has an album
different.
Coming out. Who's Mika?
Mika is a... Isn't that a British guy who's sort of Freddie Mercury-ish?
Pinback? Who's that?
Alt-metal?
Scott McCreery? Oh, that's
Scotty McCreery from
one of those American Idol.
Okay. What's the name of that album?
Christmas with Scotty McCreery. It's a Christmas album, then.
I think it's an Easter album.
So he wrote it for his family and somehow it got leaked and released? I don't get it. Because nobody else cares.
Yeah, I don't know either. He sings with a deep, low voice.
He's the one with that weird smirky smile, right?
Yeah, he's got like Like, he just raped a girl, and he's happy about it.
So he's a Romney.
Liberal bias, enough. Jesus.
Double bitches.
So I mentioned this on Facebook or Twitter or something, but I have a guy
social
at
media?
Work. A guy at work
yeah.
that...
He says, I love it when your scope shows are 4 hours long.
He's a big conservative.
I have dinner at six, guys. Come on.
And he has a bumper sticker on his car
yes.
that says, start seeing motorcycles. You guys have seen that before, right?
Oh, many times.
Yeah. He has one next
to as I'm running
that,
into them.
Still don't see one of them.
He has one of them. He has another bumper sticker right next to it that says, Obama is an evil racist Nazi.
But he's doing that with flair, right?
I legitimately thought it was an ironic bumper sticker. Because then it has a picture of Obama with a Hitler mustache. And I was like, this guy's kind of funny.
I like this guy. He merges your two favorite things.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, he's funny. Funny guy.
Then, this was a while ago, but he recently wore this t-shirt again. He wore a shirt to work that said, you can keep your change, I'll keep my guns. And then on the back... It was...
Oh, it's, I love those shirts.
The
front and back.
The Olympic rings.
Yeah.
Flipped upside down.
Uh-oh.
And then no Obama underneath of it. And I think that's reference to when they tried to get... Chicago tried to get the 2016 Olympics, maybe, and lost. And conservatives were like, yeah, fuck Obama. Because
Obama
we don't want Chicago to have the Olympics for some reason. But we love America. So I'm assuming that's what that's in reference to. Anyway, he now has a vote yes on the gay marriage amendment lawn sign in his car, like kind of, you know, stuck into the rear back seat so that it's... It's,
I thought
you know,
maybe he had like
it.
A trailer, and then he had just had sod on that trailer, and he would just stick that sign right
that,
like a mobile sign machine.
He's gonna buck the system. I can only have the sign in the yard. See, I'm just gonna bring the yard with me. See, in this trailer. See, no Obama. Doesn't your workplace have like
our 20s and 30s gangsters known for their
conservative values?
Why not?
So you were going to ask, doesn't my workplace have rules?
Workplaces have something in the employee handbook about not wearing like political statements.
Do they keep
this
guy around for comedic effect or what?
I don't understand. Like, I know that our CEO is like real big free speech supporter.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he even votes Republican. I don't know. But everyone I talk to just rolls their eyes at the guy and thinks he's an idiot.
Is he a good worker?
No.
Of course not. So have you talked to him before?
So what I'm saying is I think it's not a joke, guys.
Okay.
I don't think it's ironic.
Do you talk to him?
I have spoken to him before, yes.
And what is it?
About work things.
Okay, so he's not capable in work, but you talk to him. Does he ever bring up political things in...
No, he's never to me.
Does he know where you stand?
I don't know how
he's
it would. Because
your,
I'm, a pro-
he's scared
I'm
of
an
your
adult
Jewish
professional,
background.
Yeah. And I don't talk about politics with just strangers at work.
Sure.
When does this album drop?
And when is this coming soon?
Well, Brandy has a new album out on the 16th, so I think that ties in.
I like how you bring it all together.
Movies, October 12th, Atlas Shrugged Part 2. I saw the trailer for this. Way more explosions than the first trailer for Atlas Shrugged Part 1. So...
Better.
Seven Psychopaths.
Oh, I was thinking Cloud Atlas. Wow, that's...
Oh, that's
part
a very
two is out
different
already?
Movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Seven Psychopaths, which I think is the RZA's movie. His kung fu movie?
I don't think it is. This is like Christopher Walken.
Yeah, it's
in
Christopher
this
Walken and Colin Farrell. And
yeah, and the RZA.
Maybe, but this isn't the kung fu one.
Argo, that one's getting good early buzz.
I see that a lot.
Jared,
Here
I had,
comes
I
the
had
boom.
Sneak preview possibility passes for that, but I couldn't make it, so...
What? Why wouldn't you let me know and I could be you?
I don't know.
You a jerk. Adam and I could have gone.
Yeah.
I should have got
done
it.
Our own
I apologize, guys. Next time I'll get him
for
you.
I don't see that so bad. Anyway,
you just like Ben Affleck's crazy hair.
I think it's a good story.
Here comes the boom. And I know I've seen trailers, so I don't know what
it
is.
That's Kevin James.
Oh,
that
yeah,
one,
God.
I did get sneak preview passes for the same time as Argo, and we're going.
What?
that was your conflict.
Newsflash, good news, bad news.
And Sinister.
Wow.
I don't know what Sinister is.
I think
is.
It's a found footage horror movie.
Oh, sure.
Oh, great.
Wait, isn't that the VHS?
I think there's multiple found footage horror movies.
Well, excellent,
out.
Because the next week, Paranormal Activity 4 comes out.
Found footage with Kinect.
And Alex Cross. DVD, October 19th, E.T., Anniversary Edition, Bones, Season 7, Rock of Ages, Whitney, Season 1, and Prometheus.
Wait, doesn't E.T. come on next week?
This is October 9th.
Oh, I thought you said 19th. Okay.
He probably did. He's been really screwing up things lately.
It's possible. Did you guys see Prometheus? You did.
Yes, we did. Okay. Disappointing is what we thought.
I should still see
not
it.
Not the worst thing ever, but...
Yeah. I wouldn't buy it on DVD.
I would buy it. I would probably watch it, though, if you haven't seen it.
The 16th, Chernobyl Diaries, Moonrise Kingdom. I saw that. I liked it.
Yeah. We did, too.
Mad Men Season 5.
I kind of want to see Chernobyl Diaries. I wanted to see it when it was out, but...
It's an interesting concept.
Finally.
Yeah. It's just a thing.
This is the weird found footage, but... Or whatever tour of Chernobyl.
Yeah, that's like an interesting idea.
Zombie-ish type things start coming out.
Yeah,
video games week of October 7th. Actually, today, Pokemon White, Pokemon Black comes out because Nintendo releases games on Saturdays or Sundays.
Weird, huh?
Yeah, okay. Dishonored.
Still doing that Pokemon thing, huh?
Still selling, Jared.
Still selling. Okay. XCOM comes out on Tuesday.
People have been talking about this game.
You guys ready for XCOM?
No.
You ever play it on the old Apple IIgs?
No.
All right.
Sorry.
Fable, The Journey, Connect.
It's a Connect game.
This is a game where you do this with your hands.
Like you're waxing
spells.
The floor.
Just when Dance 4. The next proper Fable sequel comes out.
I feel like you're missing games on this. Dance Central 3.
I'm not.
I like that the October 7th, Just Dance 4. October 14th, Dance Central 3.
That's great. That's a great story. If there ever was one.
October 14th, also 007 Legends.
He loves it.
Comes out.
That is a great story.
I hope that you're happy.
I am happy.
Dick.
I'm not missing anything.
I don't know.
Bitches.
Seems.
No, there's a lot of stuff coming out. I've got pre-orders.
Right after that?
I've got pre-orders for Assassin's Creed.
Yeah,
I've got pre-orders for Call of Duty.
I've got
pre-orders of Halo.
Nope. What about Hitman Absolution? Is that coming out?
Nope. I'm not going to
pre-order. No, I'm asking if that maybe that's the one I think you're missing. I don't know. Maybe not.
Sorry. If I'm missing something, I am sorry.
Do all of those come out in October that you just said, or in November?
A lot of those are November games.
I think all of them.
I think Assassin's Creed might be late October.
Okay. It's going to be busy.
It is.
When am I going to level my Panda Man?
Jared loved it.
The Scope World.
Guys,
he
I'm back
got
in.
The right key.
I got some texts from some listeners during the live broadcast that we've been having here.
Yeah.
I joined
it's
a guild.
Live for us.
Yeah. Ready to go.
I love my Panda Man.
Jared.
Yeah.
Wrap it up. The show's been so long, I've got literally 20 ideas for the name of the show. It's insane.
That's
and
awesome.
I haven't even talked about my iPhone 4.
Five.
Whatever.
Come
my
on.
iPhone 5.
Nobody cares. It's your dad's phone, right? Anyway. As well, this is where we talk about comments. We had some comments, some email comments to the show this time.
Really?
Apparently, we did, Shane. You get them, don't you? Anyway.
Yes. Parcel post.
Mike writes in. He says, I just finished listening to the latest scope-orific episode of The Scope. The superlatives are nice, but I think every Scope episode is scope-orific.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say
By definition, I think it
has to be.
He wanted to weigh in on a couple of shows he saw at SDCC. Revolution I found to be bland and predictable. The acting was mediocre to poor, and the lead actress prances around like she's in a shampoo commercial.
I agree.
It has the look and feel of a CW show. Also, the big twist, no spoiler, felt like it was stolen from Jericho.
You know
obviously
what?
The first episode he's talking about.
I haven't seen the second episode.
So I've seen all three.
The first episode, I thought that was the same twist as in Jericho. Was that not the exact same twist that happens?
It was very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they could talk to somebody with a computer. Yeah. Does it get better?
I think it's getting better. I think the third episode is nice and dark, and they're starting to figure out...
Do they look grimy, or do they still look like they're stealing clothes off of American Eagle?
They're still kind of pretty.
They fixed that. They made that work in Lost. It's fine.
Yeah. I don't agree with that.
That show is getting good ratings. Surprising.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but I just think that if you compare the look of Revolution to the look of Lost,
I'm saying the people don't look grimy in Lost, either.
Sure they do.
Kate never looked great.
Anyway,
how dare you?
Lost, they were stuck on an island with no resources. At least in Revolution, they still live in our regular world, and there's still some sort of industry. It's not driven by electricity, but it's not as if people are living in caves either.
It's driven by the Hunger Games.
I'm just saying. Yeah, exactly. Arrow, I absolutely loved. It was basically Batman Begins on TV. It's dark and violent with some nice twists. It's a complete break from what Smallville did. Great. I'm very excited for it now. Comes out next week. Adam, are you in?
Yep.
Are you watching Arrow? Shane, you don't care.
Probably not.
Okay.
I have no time for shows, I've realized, though. I'm behind on every single thing.
Our DVR is at 40% capacity after 2 weeks. That's not boding well for us.
Wow. Are you going to have to cut some shows, probably?
Yeah, maybe like the shows I said I was going to cut, but yet we're still watching. X Factor. The Voice.
Make it stop.
I'm rolling my eyes.
The best pilot I saw was The Following, which won't be on until January. It stars Kevin Bacon, who is a retired FBI agent who has to recapture a serial killer. Very dark and very graphic, but it has also there also seems to be a deeper story. I didn't know about that show, but now it sounds very interesting.
Is he following the serial killer? Is that the whole point? Like he's always two steps behind him?
He's trying to recapture it. I don't know. That's one episode he saw. How do we know how it's going to play out, Shane? We don't know the whole arc.
He's making fun of the name of the show, right?
I think I am. Very poor job of it. I apologize.
Yeah, that's not a good joke.
Right. And finally, Cindy writes in, let me start off by saying, fuck yeah, Molly's back. Molly is by far the best guest host, followed closely by Adam. Sorry, Earl and Al.
Burn on Adam.
Adam's a guest host. And Molly's better than you. What do you think about that?
Whatever.
All right.
That's what we expect from the second best guest host.
So Cindy also wants to chime
Here,
in.
Wait, let me answer as Molly real quickly. Yeah, bitches.
Wow.
It's my Molly impression.
And you gave me heat for my joke.
Wow. Cindy would like to weigh in on fall TV as well.
Yep.
First of all, I, like many, watched the episode preview of Go On during the Olympics, and I must say that my expectations were fully met in that it was shit. Adam, you liked it, didn't you, Adam?
I liked
it's
it.
It's getting good ratings,
I didn't.
It?
I chose not to continue watching it, though.
Okay. So. It's doing well. Yep. I just didn't.
For NBC, rather.
I did not enjoy it in the least, and it just came off like a poor man's Community. I might be persuaded to give it another try if I hear more positive reviews about subsequent episodes, but until then, I'll be giving it a pass. So I don't know that you got any more positive reviews from us here, since
we don't
none of
it.
Us watched
She'd
it.
Say, it's going to be a no for me. That's what I would say.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a no for me.
It's scary. Not scary, but like I don't want to miss the next Community. You know, like there will be another, and I don't want to like just dismiss it and then... but. Whatever. The AV Club will tell me what to watch.
Yeah, if it's... I mean, it's the sort of thing where it's not hard to go back and catch up on a show these days if it turns out to be something good.
Yeah.
And you really want to, so... Cindy continues, I also watched Revolution, and I was hoping that it would be good because I like the concept. Unfortunately, I was severely disappointed. The writing just isn't that good, and the main lead is god-awful. She constantly looks confused about everything and displays 20 different emotions in every scene.
She's a girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Duh.
Girls are flighty.
So
that's my two cents about fall TV. You know, I think some of the criticism of the first episode of Revolution is definitely warranted. But I still stand by. I think it's gotten better. I think the performances are getting better, and I will stick it out.
Is it finding its footing, Jared?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think so.
Finding its voice.
Love the show. I've been listening ever since the Metro Buzz trivia, and I hope to continue for a long time. Or at least for another 7 months when I'll be done with school and out of work with no time to listen to three guys in Minnesota talk in a basement.
It's a studio.
It's a studio. How dare you? And we're Metro Buzz trivia champions. Don't ever forget it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jimmy Carter was the answer. Winning answer. You weren't there.
I wasn't there.
It went down to the last question, Jared.
Fly out to LA.
And I crushed it like a bitch.
It's awesome. It's good to reminisce. P.S. I think you should start giving scope scores to listener feedback. Here's hoping for a solid 2.75 stars for this piece of shit.
I think I should call it this piece of shit.
Also, I think that was the most common score from today's thing. So we
might give it
as
a score, Jared.
The scope score is 2.75
there
stars.
Met expectations.
Averages out. Yeah, you've met expectations. There you go. If you would like to meet expectations, you can email us comments at thescopeshow.com. You can also call our voicemail line at 612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673. Put it in your phone so that it's always there and you're ready to call us at a moment's notice.
It's in my phone. I'm shaking it to the camera.
We tried to work out an endorsement deal so that all iPhones 5 would come with our phone number preloaded. Did not work out. So you're going to have to put it in manually, folks.
iPhone 5S.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, the 5S.
The 5S
or the 5 Scope.
The Scope Edition. Exactly. That'll be coming. You can give us a like over on the Facebook page, or you can follow us on The Scope Show on Twitter. Mike also...
All we do is tweet on that, by the way.
Mike, who had written in with some TV stuff, also mentioned that we should maybe give groups another try. And he had a compelling reason, which I hadn't even thought of, which was that you can, if you're in a group, it kind of shows up in your menu on your mobile device in the Facebook app. I'm like, huh. I hadn't even thought of that angle. So I think I'm going to maybe try reviving the group. It's still out there. It's just sort of inactive. Nobody's doing anything. So we'll keep the Facebook page. I think I'll start posting to the group again as sort of the official discussion thread, which I know John Norton does a lot for his shows as well. And we'll see how that works. See if that fosters any sort of back and forth. What do you think?
I like it.
Sound good?
I mean, anything really, to do with David Foster,
honestly,
I'm happy.
It means nothing for you guys because I'll do all the work. So, really. Unless you guys are against me doing extra work, then, you know,
it gives Adam and I more time to masturbate.
I'm specifically for you doing extra work.
Okay. That's good.
Pro, you're pro work.
Trying to keep you employed by the Scopes.
Bitches.
Awesome. If you'd like to support the show, you can give us a review at iTunes. I haven't checked recently. Have we gotten any new reviews?
Oh, yeah. iTunes can't even keep up. Wow. That's how many we're getting.
Here's the thing.
We crashed iTunes.
Reviews beget more reviews. So, yeah. We've got like about 20 new ones in the last couple weeks. So,
God, keep guys. Coming. Wow. I mean, you don't want to be left out. You've got to be a part of this. Right.
Get in early.
Yeah. If you go early on it, your review definitely will be counted.
Yeah. And don't miss the cutoff, because at some point they're going to stop accepting new reviews. We don't know when that date is, so act now.
Soon.
Operators are standing by.
Soon.
If you want to directly support us financially, you can give us a donation or subscribe for $2 a month. Those links are on our website at thescopeshow.com. And as always, one of the best ways to support us, the Amazon affiliate link right there on our website and in every post now. You just click on that. You shop like you normally would on Amazon. Doesn't cost you any extra. We get a little piece of the action back. It's a great way to support the show. And as always, our new sponsor, audibletrial.com/thescope. Get yourself a free audiobook. Check it out today. That's all I got, Jay. Back to you.
I think the best way to support us would be we need three simple donations of $50,000
a piece. That's
it. A year.
A year. That would cover all of us.
And honestly, we're only taking three, so get in there now.
This is serious,
people.
If
you're the fourth person who wants to donate $50,000, I'm sorry, we won't take it. We've only got three slots available.
I would take 100. They could really show their love by doubling it, 100,000 for the
fourth.
You
heard it here, folks. Shane is now doubling the amount he's willing to accept. It's an amazing offer. I don't know why more people aren't taking it.
If somebody
advantage.
Does that, I will buy them their pillow pet of choice.
What is a pillow pet?
It's a pillow that can turn into a pet.
It's when Shane lays on the pillow with someone.
Is that some sort of weird Japanese thing?
No.
Where you fall in love with a Japanese girl pillow and marry it?
I would do that.
Okay.
I would do that for someone if we got those donations.
Wow. I don't know what our longest show is, but this is definitely
it's in our wheelhouse for long. Adam is getting antsy. He's rubbing his legs down. They're numb from sitting.
Should we wrap it up?
Let's wrap it up. 131 is over. We'll be back with 132. Date and time to be determined. Later, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying, Annyeong. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.